powered from the Sereno Cigar Company studio in North Carolina and broadcasting from the Ventura Cigar Company studios in California and from Euless, Texas. It's episode 119 of the Primetime Show. Tonight, we bring you a very special episode of Primetime, the Cigar Aficionado Top 25 pregame show. Everything you need to know and what to expect for the big reveal coming up. And as always, the Primetime Show is brought to you by Saga Cigars. Every new blend borrows from the past, and the Saga Blend Number 7 has done just that. It's the perfect combination of timeless knowledge of traditional tobaccos and a newer balance that today's cigar enthusiasts come to expect and love in a finer cigar. Leveraging 6 generations of experience and tradition of the Reyes family, the Saga Blend Number 7 delivers a unique full-flavor medium body cigar. The cigar is highlighted by a Brazilian wrapper over a blend of Central American and Dominican tobacco. Available in 3 sizes at an affordable price, Saga Blend Number 7 is sure to please and bring together past and present. And by Perdomo Cigars, awarded Nicaraguan Cigar of the Year in 2014 by Cigar Journal, the Perdomo 20th Anniversary brand has consistently earned the highest scores in the industry and is a top seller in humidors around the world. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary blend requires tobaccos that have been carefully hand-selected and are well-aged for a minimum of 8 years. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary is offered in 3 distinct wrappers: a smooth, creamy Ecuadorian Connecticut, a rich, earthy Cuban seed Nicaraguan sun-grown, and a dark, oily Cuban seed Nicaraguan Maduro. Combining these beautifully bourbon barrel-aged wrappers with thick, high-priming binder and filler tobaccos gives each blend a balanced complexity with rich layers of and rich flavors and smooth, elegant aromas. Perdomo Cigars is a family-owned and operated company headquartered in Miami, Florida, with manufacturing and agricultural facilities in Esteli, Nicaragua. Perdomo's highly acclaimed cigar brands include the Perdomo Estate Selección Vintage, the Perdomo Double Aged 12-Year Vintage, the Perdomo 20th Anniversary, the Perdomo Reserve 10th Anniversary Champagne, the Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel Aged, Perdomo Lot 23, and many more. For great tasting notes and pairing information, check out the new Perdomo website at www.perdomocigars.com. And by Villiger Cigars. Since 1888, Villiger Cigars have been experts in everything tobacco, including offering a wide range of premium cigars for all connoisseurs. Villiger's La Vencedora, which translates to the victor, is the first ever full-body Villiger cigar, and it carries a special meaning to Villiger Cigars chairman of the board, Heinrich Villiger. The Villiger La Vencedora, or the victor, represents to Mr. Villiger the arrival of Villiger cigars to the premium handmade cigar segment. It was time, in his opinion, to push the envelope and create a legacy cigar that will serve as a proper follow-up to the acclaimed Villiger La 40 and Glen brand. This Nicaraguan Puro, wrapped in a beautiful Nicaraguan Habano Oscuro wrapper, boasts a potent, full-bodied smoking experience featuring highly seasoned and hearty flavors. Be sure to ask your retailer for La Vencedora, and you can visit Villiger's entire line of premium cigars at www.villigerscigars.com. And by Drew Estate, check out and download the Drew Diplomat app for your mobile device. Keep up with everything going on Drew Estate. Experience the subculture that is the rebirth of cigars. Available on iTunes and Google Play. For more information, check out www.drewdiplomat.com. And all live streaming for the Primetime shows is sponsored by Drew Estate. Welcome, everybody. This is episode 119 of the Primetime Show for this Thursday, December 5th, 2019. This is Will Cooper. I am in the Sereno Cigar Company studios, and I'm joined cross-country by my friend and colleague, Mr. Aaron Loomis.
Happy birthday, Coop.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You know, I'm going to smoke the Perdomo 50th tonight. And
Perdomo 50th, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know they had a Perdomo 50th.
I said Perdomo. Well, no, I have to take care of my spine. He's going to be mad at me now. I'm dead. No, the Padron 50th. So the story of this is I was given this cigar 2 years ago to smoke for my birthday. And it was my 50th birthday 2 years ago. But Mr. Padron passed away on my 50th birthday. I don't know. I just said I didn't want to make a big deal about it. I put it aside. I'll smoke it next year.
Right.
Well, for obvious reasons, I couldn't smoke last year. So this one, I don't want to say I haven't smoked a Padron 50th anniversary in 2 years. I said Padromo or Padron?
You think you said Padron, correct?
I said Padron. Okay, okay. I'll just check it. Now I'm more paranoid. I've smoked this cigar before, but not this specific one with the red serial numbers. So,
all right. There you go.
So, okay. So anyway, boy, oh boy. I'm going to hear it from that one. All right. Also joining us from Euless, Texas, coming over from Special Edition, Mr. Bear Duplessis.
Happy birthday, Coop.
Thank you very much.
I wore yellow for you. I don't have the yellow jacket yet, but
Yeah, we will be having. I was reminded about the yellow jackets, getting that info to you guys, so I'll be doing that. I mean, the goal is to have them in place before TPE, I think. Mm-hmm. So, so it's great to have you guys here. This has become an annual tradition, the Cigar Aficionado Top 25 show. So it always seems – I think we did it 1 year on my birthday when it was a Tuesday. I want to say I did one of these on my birthday. I don't remember.
Sounds familiar.
It sounds familiar. But, you know, the origins of this show, I kind of always like to say with the origins because I want to give credit to Stace Berkland, who's a friend of mine. He was in the media for a while. And he kind of really came up with this idea of doing something like this. And we did it as just a very raw Facebook Live thing as an offshoot of Stogie Geeks, not even an official Stogie Geek show. And we were just surprised at not only how much fun it was to do, but the response we got from it. So when the year after the primetime show started, I brought this over, and it's been part of the show ever since.
Nice.
So I do appreciate you guys. And, you know, definitely want to give the props to you, Aaron, because the information of the show is only as good as the data we have.
Right.
And for folks who don't know, Aaron spends a lot of time collecting this data and making sure the data is right. Mm-hmm. I think last year you nailed it. I don't think we had any many misfires last year.
Mm-mm. And we finally got it narrowed down to what the start and end dates are. So that was the only, I think, the piece that we were missing the year prior to that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a little tricky because the end date is, and the publishing dates are different. So I think the last publishing date is the end of October. Mm-hmm. So then anything in November goes to the following year. But so if you haven't seen this show before, I think you're in for a treat, because what I like to kind of say is it's kind of a little bit of we use a little bit of ESPN bracketology to do these picks here. It's not I don't want to say this is far from an exact science, but what we do is we analyze the data. We analyze the trends, and we just analyze maybe what we know about the industry and our own personal things, and we kind of wrap it all up into one there.
Yeah.
So the other thing I'll say is for a couple of things, I know everyone – this is not sanctioned by Cigar Aficionado whatsoever. So I want to make that very clear. No, I haven't gotten – we haven't gotten any nasty phone calls about this show yet. But this is not officially sanctioned. But I think for all practical purposes, we could say what we want about Cigar Aficionado. It is still the industry barometer there. I mean, I think the half-hour consensus certainly has built a place over the past few years. But I still think that the top 25 list is the one everyone strives to be on.
Right.
So, you know, from that perspective, I think it's worth giving some attention to do this. For folks who don't know how this works, this is how the Cigar Aficionado list works. Really what happens, and Aaron, you can fill in the blanks if I miss anything. They score cigars throughout the year, and then right around the time they start doing the list, they kind of re-procure all the cigars that have scored 91 or above. Mm-hmm. And they smoke. They go through they go through the data and they do some sanitization so there's not a lot of duplicates. And then they smoke this, like, meaning you're not smoking. They take the highest score, I believe, from each line, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that. But they at least they take one Batola per line. And then they go ahead and they smoke it blind. Mm-hmm. And from that blind tasting, they come up with a ranking, and that ranking becomes the Cigar Aficionado Top 25. We've seen some controversy, quote unquote, the blind tasting, particularly in 2016 and 2017 with the Andalusian Bull and the Eye of the Shark, because those were one of a kind Vitolas that somehow made it to the top of the tournament. So a lot of people questioned how, including, I think, people, I mean, I know we asked John Carney this question, Bear, right? That, you know, about that Vitola. I mean, he was pretty transparent on it. It is what it was. It was, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the most comical thing is the idea that they actually found enough of those cigars to actually procure for a tournament. I think that's probably the biggest piece of bullshit.
Well, if you want to know why they weren't in the scores, Marvin wanted them.
fist shaking at Marvin Shanken. Yeah. How dare you take the Bulls.
Right. So the other thing to mention is so we're not going to get into the whole advertising thing on this show. Okay. So I think everyone knows that's a discussion out there. We don't touch that on this show. And, you know, I think it's just a separate thread, but I think we will get into what we've seen. There's things that we can look at the data, extrapolate certain conclusions out of that data, which is, I think, going to be the rationale behind a lot of our picks tonight. So from that perspective, you know, we'll be doing that. And the other thing is to know about this, the cigars. It is not a cigar is released in 2019 calendar year. It is right. Whatever they've reviewed over the last year.
Clearly.
Yeah. So now I want to make a little bit of a comment here. So I was doing some research, and you know, everyone knows last year that the Encore by EP Carrillo won Cigar of the Year. And Bear, you did pick that to everyone's surprise, by the way. Right?
Same.
So as I was doing my research, Aaron, and I'm putting you on the spot here.
All right.
So we all know that Bear also gave the Encore the number one cigar of the year.
Right.
Is Bear the first media person ever to give a cigar of the year to a cigar aficionado cigar of the year in the same year?
Yeah, I would think that'd be the case.
I went and looked. I couldn't find an example. I couldn't find one.
Again, what can I say? I'm one of a kind, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Let's be completely honest here too. I also did pick a different Vitola, to be 100% frank.
You actually picked the better one, by the way. I gotta be honest with you.
I did pick the better one. Yes, I did.
You did.
This man. Of course. Of course, I have superior taste. Coop, I don't know if you remember this. I pulled this conversation up from when we were talking about when the rating for the Encore and Cigar Aficionado first came out, and I was like, man, I think Cigar Aficionado is about to steal my thunder.
No, I remember. Hey, Bear, tap your microphone a second.
Yeah, can you change which mic you're...
Yeah, I think your mic's off, that's why.
I was just going to text you, but...
Okay. But yeah, I actually went and started looking that up. I think now you're on.
Yeah, so I think that's the funny thing is I'm pretty, like what I told you, that Cigar Aficionado was going to steal my thunder, and you're like... You're like, well, I think they're going to steal a lot of people's thunder or something. I don't think you got my reference, but it was a funny conversation.
Well, you were like, I remember it was kind of, there was another funny thing is, because I was in a very similar situation. You were giving an excellent award at the show. And you were kind of saying, well, you know, it wasn't the same as obviously the big one, right? And by the way, he couldn't have been more gracious. That didn't matter to him, right?
Sure, of course not.
And I was in the same boat 2 years ago with Lito. Because Lito won Andalusian Bull, and he was number three for the small batch number six with me. So, and like I said, they still were good. But, you know, don't get me wrong. The Aficionado one's going to be the one to get all the accolades. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, I wish I was on, I guess, more chummy terms with the Hall of Famer. Because I definitely would have been like, hey, where's my banner? Because he had, you know, number one cigar of the year, Cigar Aficionado all over his booth this year. And I was like, I don't see how Elsa Fumar takes anywhere.
Jose was working on that. Jose was working on that one for you.
I'm sure he was.
No, so, you know, like I said, a little history made there. I could not find another. And I went and looked, by the way, through the archives on this. Tonight I was doing that. Even after you and I talked. So I spent some time, but I couldn't. But I think we're safe to say you made history, right? And I knew you had that picked. Like, you didn't tell me you had to pick. Like I said, You pretty much, like I said,
context clue.
It, yeah.
You are an investigative reporter.
Right. All right. So let's kind of go back to the CA thing. Now, it's a year later. Okay. Let's kind of be totally frank here, guys. How did Encore's year as Cigar of the Year do?
I think it's probably one of the most lackluster kind of aftermaths for a company that won.
I kind of agree. It's not a knock on Ernesto. It's not a knock on a cigar. I didn't see the pop like I had in previous years.
I think the high ended when I think the high ended when I gave him number one cigar of the year. honestly. That's my way of agreeing with you guys. That's not a knock on the company. That's not a knock on Ernesto. I think, for whatever reason, this cigar didn't connect with the public. And I'm really shocked by that. I mean, this was my whole bit last year, guys, when we were talking and y'all were almost emphatic that the number one cigar of the year was going to be a Cuban. And I was like, no, because Cigar Aficionado is not going to make a cigar third year in a row impossible to get in this market. And so I thought the cigar community would be chomping at the bit for the opportunity to actually have access to the number one cigar of the year. And unfortunately that wasn't the case. I'm still blown away by it, frankly.
I have actually tried to come up with reasons and I couldn't. I don't, the only thing, and we may see this, I kind of went back. This is the only thing I thought of is that, and this ain't a knock on Fuente, I had a shark. I don't know if people were very frustrated because they couldn't get Eye of the Shark the year before, that maybe the award lost a little luster and people just were a little lackadaisical. Now, again, the cigar geek community wasn't going to chase this cigar down. It's not the people listening to this show probably aren't the ones who are going to chase this cigar down. But right. This is the general audience. And I don't know, maybe it was because of Eye of the Shark the year before was just you couldn't get it. So people say, I'm not going to try to get it again this year.
Yeah, that could be the case.
I don't have any other explanation. I mean, there are people who said the cigar, this was a polarizing pick. I can tell you a lot of people did not feel this cigar deserved cigar of the year. And there were a lot of people, obviously someone on this panel, thought it did. Aaron, you had that cigar on your list last year. It wasn't number one.
Yeah, I think it was number five on my list. It was actually a good cigar. It just, you know, so.
Yeah, so.
What were your personal feelings on it? Aaron, forget the everything. Like
I thought it was.
I know you hate everything. I'm just like the level of hate.
So you know, I thought it was one of those rare cigars that was good all the way through, which is, I think, rare nowadays. Like you'll get a good first third, you might get a good second third, but in that final third, you're not going to get a good experience. You're going to get an average or subpar experience. The cigar was good all the way through. I mean, it was consistent the whole way, and that's just enough to kind of get to the top of the list. Sometimes, at least in my experience.
I mean, that's one of the things I love about it is just its consistency. So, yeah, I'm still baffled by it. Like that it wasn't as well received as at least I predicted it, in the sense that it was a cigar that was accessible, and it just proved not to be it. So, Coop, I mean, I know you've. I know you didn't have a chance to review it the previous year, but that in that calendar year. But you were a fan of the blend, right?
It scored enough to qualify as a contender for my list this year, is what I'll just say. So it had that, it hit the 91 threshold. And it was the Majestic size. I did not review this size. This size can be eligible next year. But did I think it was a number one cigar? No. It won't be number one this year, I'll tell you that. But, I mean, certainly something that I think is a quality smoke. I actually thought, you know, the re-release of Elenco's to me was much more exciting. I was much more excited about the re-release of Elenco's in the end.
Really? I mean, yeah, I love that cigar too, but.
I love Elenco's. Yeah, so that was kind of like my pick there.
And I mean, something else to take into consideration is just like the draw to the company as a whole, you know, beforehand anyway. I mean, I don't know that anybody's super excited about EP Creo stuff. I think they're more excited about stuff that he makes for other people. I think they get way more fanfare than the stuff he makes for himself. So it could have just been, you know, what the company's status prior to that. It just wasn't enough of a bump to really drive people to the brand.
Yeah, I agree.
I think there's some unfortunate truth to that. As much as I disagree with it, but I mean personally, but I think there's absolute truth to that.
Yep. So I think, like I said, I think it definitely, I think we agree it was a mixed year. And, you know, as far as E.P. Carrillo's run, but it was, you know, I think a lot of people knew at some point Ernesto was going to get a number one cigar of the year on that list. But, you know, turning our attention, there are what to look for on the list, right? So I think what we're going to be doing, we're going to be going through a bunch of things tonight, right? And I know some things we're going to look at are we're going to give you some cigars that we think are on the bubble for making the list, which is always kind of fun. We're going to be giving you some of our, like what we call Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock specific cigars that we think will absolutely be on the list. We'll be talking about some of the like brands from left field that kind of come out of nowhere. Some of the stuff that maybe some of the stuff that's usually in the top 10 that misses the top 10 this year. And of course our selections for number one. What I wanted to kind of do is just kind of make a one little data point here. What are the brands that we constantly see on the list every year, right? I'm going to share my screen. So give me a second here. And hopefully this comes up. Because actually I can now share screens here, which is pretty cool. All right. And this is from, this is an, I wrote this article, I think on the big divide between online media and the top 25. Cigar Aficionado this past week, but that's not really the important part here. Really what I want to kind of emphasize here is these what I call top 12 here. And if you look in the center of my screen, these are the companies that every year have made the list since 2011. And you can see it's Habanos, Ashton, Altadis, Arturo Fuente, Alec Bradley, Padron, Rocky Patel, General, My Father, Oliva, LaFleur. Pretty much if you have an 8 there, you made it the previous 8 years in a row. I think General was the only one who didn't. They had 2 in 1 year. But if you look at those are the ones that you can kind of say, you know what? They're going to be on the list this year, chances are. Right. Whether you want to say it's consistency, whether you want to say it's the relationship. I'm not talking advertising, but I think we've talked about it on the show. Is that when Cigar Aficionado has a relationship with someone, they'll cover that brand more. They'll review more of those cigars. And those are the ones that are going to make it to the top. So, I mean, I think those are the ones that you've tended to see over the last 8 years. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's 100%.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, if you're, you know, and I think some Habanos, I grouped all the brands of Habanos together. So you can see it's a lot larger. I think it's a little hard to pinpoint specifically which Habanos brand it is. But again, if you look at that average, it's a little over 3 per year. So some years there were 4, some years there are 3. So if you're looking and trying to map out your top 25, the question is, the wildcard question is, how many Habano cigars will there be, 3 or 4? And in recent years, it's gone down to 3. So they used to be 4. I think it's now gone to 3 more now because I think there's a lot more relationships Cigar Aficionado has to deal with right now.
Oh, poor guys.
Yep. So that's just kind of looking at that data. That's just kind of where you're looking at right now as far as that goes. And then you could kind of assume those are the types of things. And by the way, we'll put the links out with the podcast of all the data that Aaron collected as well. So you'll be able to see that. In fact, if you go to the live page, already has it. But so that's just – I want to make a point about – those are the ones that I would say are ones that are every, you know, looking at every year. Now, there are a few brands that I think that you didn't hear on that list that are starting to make that move into that every year category. Would you guys agree? And I think like E.P. Yeah. Carrillo is one of them. Mm-hmm. I think Aganorsa Leaf's starting to become one of those as well.
Illusione?
Illusione's been on and off. But, yeah, they've been – yeah, I think you could – you know, Tatuai has been on or off too. They've been pretty close, I would agree.
Espinosa seems to be getting there maybe a little bit.
I think this will be a big telling year for Espinosa, and they have several cigars in play. In fact, I will share the screen again. How about that? I have another screen to show. This is pretty cool.
The noticeable absence from that list, though, and they've had some good – qualifiers in the last couple years, but still it's just been the last couple years, and it's a staple in most humidors that you consider Drew Estate. See, Drew Estate has three in the last 12.
I was actually going to say the same thing about that. Drew Estate has, yes, they have definitely come up in there as well. I wonder about them this year. If I kind of done that, I was wondering if they actually made, you know, this year I think it's a different story. Because I think they had less data there than in previous years. Can you guys see my Coop data analysis or no?
Yes,
I can.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. So here's what we're showing here. These are, I went through the data that Aaron did, and this is all Aaron's data that he collected here. And what I did is I actually went and counted them by company. So I grouped things that were branded together. And Habanos, as you see, is overwhelming. But these are the ones from this year's, I think, list of like contending brands that are out there. Padron led the list with 10. Arturo Fuente, 9. So these are all the cigars that were scored a 91 or above. Mm-hmm. The previous... previous year, whether it was an insider or the magazine. So you can see here, if you look at the stuff really from five, there's 10 brands that had five or more this year. Habanos had 36, Padron 10, Fuente 9. The one that surprised me on this list, AJ Fernandez with 7. Mm-hmm. That was a big surprise to me because AJ Fernandez hasn't had this. I think, you know, a lot of people over the last 2 or 3 years were like looking at AJ Fernandez as eventually getting that number one. And I think that talk's died off based on some of the disappointments.
Yeah. I think it was a big push that he was going to get it last year.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was a big push the year before as well.
I predicted number one 2 years ago and obviously missed on it. So
a lot of people, that was the Bella Art this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I had the Puro Especial winning it.
You did.
Yes.
Yes. And then last year, I think everyone was looking possibly at Ramon Ayones, and they get a number 25 rating. But, Bear, here's the thing that I want to look at, and you mentioned Drew Estate. I'm sorry I got a little sidetracked when I was trying to get that up there. But Drew Estate only has 3 this year. And it looked like for a couple of years ago that Drew Estate was going to move on to that list of possibly becoming a staple. Last year, they completely missed the list. And this year, it's a very interesting crop because I think it was only 3. When I looked at the cigars, it was the two of the Miamis and the, I should say Herrera Esteli here. These were all Herrera Estelis here.
Yeah.
So in a way, I kind of looked at that and I'm like, unless one of these Herrera Estelis, which has made the list before, you know, I don't think like, I thought last year maybe they would steal it with Pappy. Remember we were talking about possibly stealing a top 10? I think this year Drew Estate may be on the outside looking in.
See, I disagree. I think that Miami blend is something that totally can go through the, I mean, it got a pretty high rating, now it was a little early, you know, it was the very first insider last year, the first qualifier, but it's a cigar that I think could really go through a tournament and smokes really well. It's got a lot of the, you know, we talk about the trends, you know, as yeah. far as the tobacco. Willie seems to have a knack for making stuff that they like. So I think that cigar, he's going to make the list.
I looked at this, and Aaron, I know you went through a lot. There's still a lot of surprises other besides that. I still was surprised there were only 3, right? Aganor Salif only having 3 was a surprise to me. They've had a pretty good run with that. Oliva only having 4 was a surprise to me. Rocky Patel, this is the second year in a row they really didn't have a lot in play with 3. E.P. Carrillo, defending champion. 2. And LaFleur, again, ever since they've won Cigar de Yule, LaFleur hasn't been much of a – they've made the top 25, but they haven't had a lot in play. So these are the cigars, like I said, the counts of my company there.
But, I mean, does it really matter how many Olivas were really on the list, you know they're going to give it to the Melania V. I mean, right? I mean,
yeah, no, and that's, I think, but it's an important point to make, because when you're doing the bracketology, right? I know it's a bad word, but I don't have a better one, right? But okay, you know Oliva's going to be there, right? So now look at that. You can look at that list and you say it's one of these four Olivas, right? And here's how I break it down. The Reserva Blanc, we know they don't like Connecticut's on the Cigar Aficionado list, right? Lancero, we know they don't like Lancero, right? So it comes down to a Petit Corona and a Torpedo for the Melania. Where do I go? Oh, Torpedo. They love Torpedo.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's what I'm saying. When you look at those slots, right? And I was kind of going, this is just a list I put together. Lock slots, right? Oliva's one of those lock slots. You can look at the list and you can say, all right, not that hard to figure out what that Oliva's going to be this year. I mean, is there any way Oliva misses this list? They never miss this list.
They don't miss.
They don't miss it. That's what I'm saying. So that's kind of how I looked at that there.
Where it really gets fun is like, okay, where are they going to put the V in this year? That's when it gets fun, because you know it's going to be on. You know which one it's going to be. You know it's Oliva, and you know it's going to be that particular cigar. Yeah. So where does it fall in the list this year, you know? Are they going to get cute, put it in the bottom five, you know? what's the placement on it? But, I mean, Aganor Salif, you brought up Aganor Salif 2 Coupe. They had a weak showing last year in terms of numbers, too.
And I said it. I thought it was the weakest Aganor Salif release in the portfolio that made that time. Not that's a bad cigar, but I think there's so many cigars I would smoke before that Habano.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Before the Lunatic Habano. And again, not a knock on it, but and it got it, so go figure. And I think we said something to Terrence about that. Like, of all the cigars, would you have ever expected it to be that one? Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, he took, you know, of course, the position. Yeah, you know, it was a great cigar in his book. I get it. I mean, so the other thing is I looked at this is, I mean, and we'll get into a little bit. Some of these brands could miss the list this year. So I think it will be interesting on that as far as that goes. Any other comments on that part?
I don't think so.
Okay. No. Do we want to hit the bubble cigars or did I miss anything else there?
I don't think so.
Okay, let me stop sharing. All right, so we can see our ugly faces again.
Do you want to do the companies that are not making the list?
Yes, we wanted to come. Yes, we wanted. Yes, thank you. Okay. I knew I was missing something. So let me do one more share here. Let me go back to that. So a lot of people, you know, every year we say who's going to make the list and who doesn't make the list, right? And, you know, it's always we hear, hey, you know, this may be Steve Saka's year. Like, with Dumbarton. I think Steve Saka. Well, and I'm not knocking anyone, but we've just, you know, it has to be reviewed by Cigar Aficionado. It has to get that minimum score of 91. So we're not trying to make fun of you, but we looked at the data, and unfortunately, they've never reviewed a Steve Saka cigar, right? So in terms of what brands are basically been eliminated, I updated this list. If you guys have any other ones, let me know. I'll make this a little bigger so we don't have to squint. All right, these are the ones I came up with. 1502 Cigars, no. Atabey and Byron. Avo. Bombay Tobacco, so that's Mel Shaw's brands, not on here. Casa Cuevas. No Crowned Heads. No Crux. I don't think Crux has ever been reviewed. No Cabarcaño Protocol. They've never been reviewed. Davidoff. Again. Although, Bill, you pointed out that Davidoff has a 91 for next year.
Yes.
So I think that just came out in the issue. So Davidoff, who hasn't been in play for a couple of years, they'll be in play next year.
At least one cigar.
Yep. No Debonair. No Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust. No Ezra Zion or Nomad. So, I mean, they, with the company with the most releases, didn't get anything reviewed. Gurkha. Hammer and Sickle, Christoph. That was a surprise. But I think it's the second year in a row Christoph may not be on the list. La Polina. I think that's the second year
in a row. That was a surprising one. That was 2 years in a row where they didn't make it.
Yeah. So, again, no La Polina. They were a couple years ago looking like maybe that was going to be one of those companies to start getting the consistent ratings. No Matilde. No MLB Cigar Ventures. No Mombacho. So I want to talk about this one for a second.
Yeah.
Because last year we picked on Rob. Rob started talking to, you know, Mombacho was talking to Aficionado. We picked on Rob. We weren't getting the press releases. Mombacho was showing CA all this love. They had a couple of high scores and they got shut out. Now this year they're completely shut out.
Right.
So a lot can change in a year is what I'm saying.
What surprises me is how much they dislike the Matilde cigars.
They
I've got one right here. I mean I love it personally, but man, they score some of the lowest ratings this year.
They're the best cigar is a Connecticut, and they don't like Connecticut. So
they don't like exactly what I was going to say about that.
But I think obviously it doesn't matter what I think, but the Renoncer is a good cigar too. And they gave it an atrociously low score. It wasn't as low as the 77.
No, but the Renoncer made it once. The Renoncer was on top 25 once.
Yeah. But then they reviewed it again this year and it was like low 80s, man. Oh, it was
falling here. You know, crazy. And I wondered so that cigar, I think stayed pretty consistent. I don't think they did change the factory because remember they had their own factory and they moved it. They moved the factory out. Right. So they moved it up to, Ho Chi's factory. And right. To me, I thought the cigar pretty much kept to what it was doing. I mean, I thought it performed pretty well, but I don't know. Maybe the factory changed. They smoked it and something different happened.
JSK didn't get anything reviewed this year either.
Yeah. We should have put JSK on there. I didn't get a free cigar from Riste, so
yeah, exactly. It's appropriate that you left them off.
Yeah. No, JSK will not make the list this year. I'm gonna say JSK is gonna have a big impact on the consensus this year for sure. I'm gonna say Stone Cold Dead Lead Pipe Lockie makes the consensus this year.
I would agree on that.
No Oscar Valadares. I'll say something about that one. Okay, he's got the relationship with Cigar Journal, I've noticed.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's playing into it a bit, but there's a relationship with Cigar Journal clearly on that end, which is the European publication.
You'd think if one of like your strongest counterparts as far as like publication goes, you'd think you'd like look into it, you know? It's not about necessarily – I know we always say it's about relationships, but I mean he hardly gets anything reviewed, if anything, by Aficionado.
Yeah. No, I agree. Perdomo, he was very, if you heard the Perdomo show, Nick was very candid. Right. He doesn't have a relationship with them. He does have a good relationship with Cigar Journal. Politics aside, how a Nick Perdomo cigar has never made a Cigar Aficionado top 25 is mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it's just crazy. I mean, and it's because the stuff ain't reviewed. Now, here's the one I really want to talk about, Quesada. You want to talk about falling off the map, okay? Quesada's completely fallen off the map, okay? Mm-hmm. Nothing was reviewed by them this year. They've been a staple of this list for a decade. Casa Magna, which was a cigar that dominated, okay, for many years, you know, it was one of those staple cigars. There was nothing from Quesada. I went and did the research before the show. I don't think anything out of that factory made it because the Nat Sherman cigars came out of Plasencia that made it. Mm. So that's a big change. It kind of opens up a slot over the past couple of years with Quesada falling off right now. Yeah. So, and Romacraft.
I mean, there's some previous, Quesada, of course, being probably the biggest one. They were a staple. La Palina had a good run, too, there for a while.
Yeah. I mean, La Palina did. But Quesada's run was, like, if you look from, like, 2008 to, like, 16 or 15, it was an incredible run. Casa Magna was constantly making that list. It was on the strength of Casa Magna they made it. But, you know, even some of those Nat Sherman, the original Timeless made it. That came out of that factory. So I think that's a big surprise with Quesada not you know, not present. I mean, they've really fallen off the map is what I'm kind of getting at.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I've seen a company in the Cigar Aficionado, maybe Padilla, the other one, that's fallen. But he always finds at least one cigar a year maybe that could qualify. But, you know, those – but Quesada's had – like, Bear, you made a point. That's had a number one cigar. That company's had a number one cigar. They have a Hall of Famer, you know, behind that company.
It's insane.
Yep. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, what do you think the outside odds are that Shankin listens to this show and just says, you know, like, fuck it all.
Zero.
Sober Mesa Brulee, number one cigar of the year.
No, they didn't make, they didn't re-procure it. Yeah. Not either. What are the odds he calls me? Maybe that's higher. Slightly.
Yeah.
Slightly higher. But I'm sure it won't be a pleasant call. It'll be maybe one from his attorney or something. But last one we'll say is Romacraft right now as well. You know, so, you know, but Skip's had it. Skip's been on. He's gotten on there. Mm-hmm. You know. So I don't know if we missed any other major companies here. I did miss JSK on there. I apologize to Riste on that because I did mean to put that on there.
Yeah, the day that a Nugs makes the – that they review a Nugs would be great.
They should review Tyrannical Buck.
Sure.
They absolutely should review that cigar. So like I said, if you're looking for Dumbarton, Steve will tell you point blank he won't make. I mean, of the other names on here, I think Crown Heads and Davidoff are probably, and La Polina are probably the three that I would look at outside of Quesada. I mean, those are the three. Like, how are they not on the list? This is kind of what you want to look at.
Has Gurkha ever been?
Yeah.
Yeah.
125th.
That's right.
Now,
I knew it was fairly recent, and I just couldn't remember what it was.
You know what I smoked, though, and it's really good? That Gurkha Nicaraguan blend is really good.
Yeah, because of the factory, man.
It's Topsa, freaking, yeah.
It's sensational.
Yeah, it's Aganarsa leaf. So, there were, like I said, there were a few, like, surprise companies that made it. Like, HVC is in play on here.
Southern Draw?
Southern Draw has a few. Black Label Trade.
Black Label.
Yep.
Yeah. And we'll kind of get into some of those bubble ones in a minute. So I think there are some brands this year. I here's the other thing.
Balmoral.
Balmoral, yeah.
Sereno.
They had a qualifier last year, though. They had a couple qualifiers here last year.
Yeah, Viaje made it, too. I thought it was a wider – I didn't compare the numbers from last year, but I thought it was a wider range of brands this year. And I think it's going to make it a little more competitive this year.
Could be.
All right. So why don't we get into some of our bubble picks? All right. So Aaron, here's how I wanted to do this. I know I was going to run down a list of – I was going to name some cigars, and you guys basically say in or out.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that sound good?
Sure.
So I'll read the cigar, I'll read the score, and we just say in or out, and if we have any other comments, we can make it.
Okay.
All right. Aladino Toro, 93.
I want to say in, but I don't know.
I'm saying out. Sorry, Justo. Nothing. He knows I like this cigar a lot, but I don't think it makes it.
I think out, just because of where it's manufactured. They're not a big Honduran lover.
And there's not a lot of open slots.
Yeah. I say out.
Okay. Asylum. The premium got a 91. The cabinet selection got a 91.
Out.
Absolutely out. Not a knock on Tom.
Not a knock on Tom. Out.
Good cigars.
He's made it. He's gotten the top 25.
Yeah, I was going to say he's definitely made it. So, yeah.
Yep.
It's a good cigar.
I'm going to say out. All right. Balmoral XO Connecticut, 92.
I say out just because I don't care for Connecticut that much.
Out.
Yeah, same. Ditto, Aaron. Ditto.
And I think we did this last year. You can count the number of Connecticut Shade cigars that have made a top 25 on your hand. It's a very low number. It was extremely low, I remember. So it's out. Now here's the next one. Black Label Trading Company, Lawless 92, Last Rites 92.
I think it makes the list.
I think it does too. I think you got the wrong cigar on there, though.
Well, he had the both of them, the Last Rites and the Lawless. You think was there something else?
The Lawless scored a 90. Scored a 93.
Oh, I took the highest. I may have the lowest. Yeah.
The Lawless is a 93, and the Last Rites is a 92 for the Petite and a 91 for the Grand Toro.
Okay. I'm saying both are out.
Both are out.
I go back to my list that I showed up earlier. There's not a lot of open slots for this thing. I don't think James get paying your dues. James hasn't paid his dues yet. There's other companies that when we get to these bubble ones have paid their dues.
There's always one that, I mean, dude, Viaje's like just burst onto the scene.
It was, I'll put it as an anomaly. I hear you.
Why can't this be an anomaly year?
Because there's too much competition. I'm not saying you're wrong. That's just why I'm answering the way I'm answering.
No, that's fine. That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still the one who guessed it right last year, so I'm just going to keep resting on my laurels.
But you also had the 720. You also had the 724 Lancero on there.
So, doesn't matter. I picked the winner. Come on.
All right. Caldwell Eastern Standard Cypress Room, 92.
Out.
Yeah, Connecticut. Camacho 2012 Liberty Throwback, 92.
Out.
All right. I put this one as a bubble cigar because it's so polarizing, but it probably isn't a bubble brand. CAO Nicaragua at a 91.
All right. Hold on a second. I'm going to take the time right here. If this cigar makes the list can be thrown in the trash.
So. What?
That's why I was laughing. I was like, oh, give Aaron the floor on this. Just let him have it. No, keep going, man.
This cigar didn't deserve the 91 it got. So it's ridiculous.
Tasting tournament.
They can't taste for shit then.
CAO Nicaragua. I'm going to say out just because if I say yes, Aaron will kill me.
That's right. Right?
I'm sorry, Rick. He's done some better cigars. That is not one of them. Out.
I just.
You've smoked this cigar, right?
I have. Okay. No, and you and I don't necessarily we're not that far off on how we feel.
We're not
about
far
it.
Off. We're all not far.
General gets a spot, man.
They
don't
do
they?
It, but it's not this cigar. I'll tell you what cigar.
They have slots. They have slots. Yes.
Yeah. Oh God, please. No. Just no. It's out. No. Oh, forget about it.
I'm curious if anyone in the chat room thinks that cigar is going to get on there.
I haven't seen it yet.
All right. So Bear, this is also a bubble because I think there's only two. All right. Okay. EP Carrillo only has two entries that we think are in play. So again, we're going by Aaron's research, which I think is 99% to 100% right.
Right.
The Core Plus a 93, and the La Historia a 92.
So I'm going to take the floor on this one. So I'm going to tell you exactly the cigar, and I'm going to tell you exactly where it's going to fall.
Okay.
It's going to be the Core Plus Maduro Churchill Special, the 93, the higher rated one. And it's going to be in the 15 to 20 slot. Specifically, I'll call it. If you guys want me to call it, I'll call it again.
Call it.
19.
That's a good pick.
I agree that's on the list. I don't know where it's going to place, but I agree.
I think because of the Churchill size.
Yep. Size.
Yep.
And they're not leaving the defending champion off the list. They're just not. I'm sorry.
I don't see it happening. I mean, we said and that. We thought, yeah. I agree. I think it's the Core Plus beats out the La Historia in this one. They haven't, you know, again, kind of given some love to Ernesto on there. And that's a line that gets no love anymore. I mean, I remember when that line came out as the original Core. So I think we're in agreement. That's the first one we're all in agreement. That's my first yes in there. Aurora Dark, 91.
Out.
I'm going to say out. And I like that cigar a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, you really like that cigar. No hesitation. No, it's out.
It's out. All right, I know Hector's listening. Espinosa Habano.
In.
Has up to a 93.
I would agree that it's in as well.
I think we're all saying it's in.
Yep.
But top 10.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Hector's gonna like you. I'm gonna. You know, by the way, some of the stuff that I wanted to say, Hector, like he kind of came up with a lot of these, like when I was showing the lock slots and everything. He did a lot of research and got me thinking on a lot of that stuff too. I want to give him some credit on that. I know he's listening. Now, here is probably the most interesting cigar to decide, I think, of the whole list this year, because of who it is and what the cigar is. There's only one cigar that was reviewed by this company, and it's CA's new Golden Boy, Nick Malillo. Charter Oak Connecticut Shade at 92. We know they don't like Connecticut Shades, but we know they love Nick. Does Nick miss the list this year?
No. This is in.
Hold on a second.
Is Aaron
I think it misses.
I'm going to say it misses.
You think Foundation's off the list after scoring a Foundation, top five next year?
I do.
So, this would be the biggest shock. This would be a bigger shock. This would be with the biggest shock if he makes the list.
So I have another prediction of where this is going to place. So I have another placement.
What?
It's going to drop. It's technically going to drop worse than EP Carrillo. It's going to be the number 24 cigar of the year.
He's had a number 25 with El Lawense already.
Yes. This one's going to be number 24.
Wow. But don't you think that there's something, maybe there's a little luster loss with Nick. Why haven't more of Nick was the Golden Boy? Why weren't more of Nick's cigars reviewed? You know, he certainly had the 142 out there. I mean, Aaron, there was only one Foundation that was in play, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, that's why I kind of paused, because I wanted to search the list, because I wanted to say that I thought that there was a Tabernacle on the list, but it's not. That's the only one.
Okay, no, that's what
Tabernacle, I thought. Tabernacle didn't qualify. It was like, it was a 90.
Yeah.
It was okay. A 90.
Yeah, that is the only one.
Wow. So this is going to be very interesting if Nick gets a slot or not.
Number 24, boys.
Mm-hmm. All right. Letelier. The Lat 52 got a 93. The Selection Special got a 91. I'm saying out for another reason.
I'm saying it's in for the same reason.
I'm saying I don't know what the fuck y'all are talking about, but I think Pete gets on the list, just not for these cigars. So out.
Agree. That's why I separated Lat out from Tat.
Okay.
So I'm with you. I think Pete gets, and I'll have more about Pete as the show goes on. All right, La Aurora, a couple cigars, mate. I don't have to say the cigars.
Out. For some reason, they've just been jettisoned from the list.
Since Jose left.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, they got that Fernando Leon on there, and then that was it. There was never another La Aurora, I think, that made it after that.
So this is I know they had some qualifiers, and they may come up later tonight in discussion, but this was my thing last year. Is like, why, considering the year that they had, like, why Hoya didn't have more qualifiers. This was last year, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think La Aurora is going to pop. The answer is they're out this year. La Aurora is going to be on the top 25 next year. I don't know what they're going to get reviewed. I'm not saying anything like that, but I guarantee they're going to have enough cigars reviewed. They always do. They're going to have a couple cigars have qualifiers, and they will be on the top 25 cigar list next year.
What?
I think it could be anything. It could be Hordage. It could be whatever.
It could be Hordage. It could be the new Don, the re-release of the Don Lino.
Yeah, you know what? Selection. But that's not La Aurora.
That's Miami. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Which I want to get, yeah.
Okay. But I still say, I'm still confident in saying that. That's fine.
All right. I just got distracted here. I apologize. So, all right, back to okay. LFD. The Airbender at a 91, the 1994 at a 91.
Out.
In.
In.
They never miss. They missed.
They miss this year.
You think they miss this year?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking the 1994 sneaks in at like 21.
I think that Chisel makes it 2 years in a row, man.
Interesting.
They love that. They love it.
They do love that Airbender Chisel. Yeah.
So I have it similarly placed, but you know, it's the Chisel. They can't say no to Lito, man. When that chisel comes into the tournament, they're gonna be like, "Oh yeah, that thing will get out. That thing will pass through, man. Get a walk."
La Galera Habano by Hochi Blanco, 92.
Out.
I agree. I think Hochi won't get it this year. Sorry, Hochi. The McAuliffe Grande Bolde Maduro, 91. And what was the other one? Did I type this wrong? 1RA?
1RA Generation, yeah.
The 1RA Generation? Okay, 92.
I say in.
I'm in agreement with Aaron.
I'm in agreement. I think McAuliffe is – I think they're the darlings right now. I think they're darlings right now. I think there's a connection, no doubt. I think they're in. I don't think it's going to – I think this could be something towards the bottom of the list. I don't see this thing in the top 15.
Yeah, they're in the bottom last year, too. Absolutely be a 25, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Now, here's another interesting one. Nat Sherman, the Timeless Prestige, 92, and the Panamericana, 91.
Out.
Have they all made peace now?
This is the interesting question. This is the quintessential question.
And these are, by the way, these are Placencia made cigars, just so people know.
Yeah, this is the quintessential, like,
I'm gonna
controversial
say out.
Question. Like, is there still a grudge? Like, are they still, like, yeah, if there's still a grudge, there's no way in hell Nat Sherman's making it.
Ooh.
Like, you know,
I don't think, I'm just going to say, I don't think they make it. But typically, yeah, most of the timeless ones that have done well have been out of the Casada end of things, too. So I'm going to take the politics side even out of that. But it is, it's hard not to talk about the politics. You can't. No. I get it.
I personally like the Pan American blend, kind of blend. I know there's people that we know that don't like it.
I know it is.
But I think who are tuned in.
Yeah.
I don't think it makes it.
Yep.
And I think it's still politics.
So I think we're all saying it's out. Nesta Miranda, 75th. 92. That's Salomon.
Out.
I think it's out. The only thing is it's a Pepin cigar. A Salomon out of my father. But I'm kind of going to say because there's limited slots, it's not enough to make it.
But this was like one of the closest when I was putting together. This is the one that I just like, I could not, I was like literally beating my head against the table because I just could not make a decision on it.
It was a hard one. It was a hard one, but I'm leaning towards out because of the limited slots.
I think it's got to be out. That sucks. But I liked it. I enjoyed the cigar. But I just, yeah, the limited slots, man.
Yep. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was okay.
Did you review it, Aaron?
No.
I think I gave it an 89. It wasn't much more than that.
I think if Aaron reviews it, I think it's like a 4.7.
That's I don't score much below 5, but if you think that.
What I noticed is like Seth is the guy who vishes out those under the 4.5s the most. Like Seth,
yeah, he either likes it or
he's
really
got a big, he's got the widest range on developing.
Oh power. Yeah, yes. Man. The most entertaining range for sure.
Like that's I don't see a lot of 5.7s out of sets. You know, occasionally mm-hmm. I do, but you see a lot of those, and he really likes something, he really likes it, and we really hate that he's not going to hold back.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Padilla Vintage Reserve, 92.
Out.
I'm going to say out. I think the love affair with Padilla is over.
Is he even making cigars still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supposedly okay. He's got a small factory now in Nicaragua.
Okay. It's out. Sorry, I didn't mean to get distracted.
Yeah. Now, I didn't put the cigars down here. Is Rocky Patel even a bubble brand?
Nope.
You don't think it's bubble? I don't think it is either. No. Yeah, so I kind of – Bear, do you think they're a bubble brand?
I don't think they're a bubble brand. They have become a staple on it, but are you guys ready for it?
Yeah.
I think it's out. I think it's off the
list this
year. I agree with you.
No way.
When we were talking later about like brands that Staples and Missile list. That's one of the lists. All right, well, that's my only choice.
We'll get more into that discussion. I don't in any way Rocky.
Do you think that, look, they already put the edge on it before, and like half the cigar community just like freaking threw up their hands and wanted to burn things in effigy. They're not going to do it again.
I'm not ready to say I'm going to wear a Steve Sacca dress because I'm not that gutsy, but there is no way that Rocky Patel is missing.
Nobody
this
wants to see that. I'm just saying.
Nor do I have the guts to do it. Okay.
Listen,
but there
Aaron,
is,
Aaron, you're on the right side of this. You're on the defending champ side.
Can you wear Aaron? A Kapler Giants jersey?
I will. Okay. I will wear something San Francisco Giants with Kapler. Okay. If that's the case, I will do that. If Rocky Patel was this, how about that?
The baseball show. The baseball show.
Yeah, I will do something for the baseball show on that at the pre-show.
When Rocky Patel misses this list.
I don't know if I can get it. I don't know if I'm going to – but wait, so I'm going to say that. Yes, I will do that if Rocky Patel misses this list. There is no way in God's green earth that Rocky Patel is missing a Cigar Aficionado top 25. I'm sorry. You guys are nuts. All right.
Defending champ. Just saying.
All right.
Aaron's with me.
All right. We'll do a few more, then we get the commercial. Room 101, Farce. Farce got to 94, 92, and Farce, Connecticut gets a 91.
Room 101 is in.
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 Matt's our new buddy. In. In. All right, now here's the one. I know he's probably going to wait to hear what I'm going to say about this one, and I think there's a lot to talk about. Southern Draw, the Kutsu has a 92 and 91, and the Kutsu Lustrum has a 91.
Okay, I'll say it first. Mm-hmm. So here's what Robert has working against him here. For all the argument's sake, for what Coop has always been saying, first of all, the relationship. Well, he's probably building it.
But he's with AJ.
It's not the points of. Let me.
Okay.
Let me
okay. Okay.
It's not to the point to where like some of these other relationships are. Okay. You just said it, Coop, AJ, okay? But AJ makes so much for so many. He's got so many cigars on here that are not even his. Like, how many slots are they going to give to AJ produce cigars? Okay?
Yes.
This is working against him. This is what I'm saying is working against him.
Right.
And because the lower scores of them, like, okay, we've seen 91s make – obviously, it's a qualifier. We've seen 91s make it. I mean, we've seen 92s make it. We've seen a couple 91s make it, but the cigars are too, I think they're too low, and I think he's got too many things working against him. I mean, we're doing true bracketology. It has nothing to do with the cigars, but I think this is a really great step for Robert. I think he really has a chance of making it next year because this was a really good year for him in terms of these ratings. This was really great for him.
It was a good opportunity for him. It was good that he's in play with this, and I think he's probably happy. I mean, I would be too. He's been doing this for 5 years, and he's certainly earned the right to compete in this tournament.
So, Barry, you said
he's out. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
I would like to see him make it. I just don't think he makes it this year.
I think there's just too many things working against him, unfortunately.
Yeah. I'm in agreement. Paying your dues. We've seen Warp not get in. We've seen Mombacho not get in. Bombay Tobacco's not gotten in. The paying the dues, he's not there yet. He's out. Okay. But I think, like I said, let's see if he kind of starts building up the next couple of years for sure on that. He's going to be disappointed, but yeah, I think, you know, Robert, he takes this to heart. So, but I think it's the reality. It's like you said, it's bracketology, limited slots. You nailed it with the AJ thing. How many AJ cigars are they going to put in? Is the question.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. You don't see five cigars from a factory on a top 25. You just don't. Okay. I put this as a bubble brand. The Viaje Exclusivo, Robusto, and Leaded Toro has both got 91. I'm saying out.
I say out as well.
So again, and I think the same logic, too many tops of cigars to compete with. Yeah. All right. These last two are probably real interesting. Villiga, the La Vencedora, 94. The La Meridiana, 92.
In.
Which one got it last year? What got last year was the Sandoro, right?
Sandoro.
Right. So Vencedora had the big rating. It made my list last year.
Vencedora is going to make it this year.
Vencedora makes it. Does it make top 10? I guess we'll find out in a little bit. But I think Villiger's in. I think Villiger's one of those companies, Dave, and you got to give a lot of credit to Renee. He's certainly getting good blends out of them right now. Aaron, you've had a number one cigar of the year from them.
Yep.
Laforte and Klein, which was a Connecticut. It's not a true Connecticut, though.
Right.
That wasn't a Connecticut, so we can't count that. It looks like a Connecticut. Yeah. All right. And then here's the last one. The Warped, La Colmena, 93. The Siri Grand Reserva, 94. La Relatos, 92.
Marvin Shankin screwed me over last year by not having Warped on. He's not going to do it to me 2 years in a row. Warped is getting on.
I will agree that it makes it this year finally.
Misses.
I could, Kyle, yeah. I got your back. Just remember yeah, me.
I think it's
Warp,
I think
takes Rocky's spot. How about I just put it yeah. that way?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Okay. So let there me you give go, you let, yeah. let me give you my logic. Colmena, Connecticut. Out.
It's not the Colmena, Coop.
The La Relatos bundle cigar, bundle pack cigar out.
They didn't say it was that one either.
I don't know. But I think
it's the highest scoring one. Coop.
They passed on Siri Grand Reserva last year, though.
They're not going to do it 2 years in a row.
I'm going to say
it's
out.
Hard. This is where I fuck up the list. I'm thinking 94 is like, it's pretty much a shoe in. 94 is pretty
good
list, right?
But it was the highest score year, not to make it.
Last year I picked some 94s to make the list that it got shut out. So
yeah,
didn't work out.
All right. So before we kind of, let's get into our next segment here. We'll take a commercial break. I want to mention Tailored Smoke, okay, in the heart of downtown Charlotte's epicenter. Tailored Smoke is your one-stop shop for a tailored smoking experience. And the new Concord location, which I'm pretty excited about, is opening early January. Just real, I mentioned I'm smoking the Padron 50th. What are you guys smoking tonight?
I am smoking the Joya de Nicaragua Numero Uno.
The Numero Uno, the cigar that was based on the Half Wheel Number One cigar.
That's right.
I'm hearing a lot of good things about that cigar.
It's pretty good.
I mean, I should say I liked it. I did like it. But I'm starting to see people, like I'm the people smoking my shop are starting to gravitate to that cigar who want a good premium cigar.
I can see why.
I can see people who, they put that cigar in people's hands with Davidoff smokers, which I thought has been interesting.
Sure.
I see it. Yeah. And it's where, so it's, I think they, that's done something.
Bear left, right, when we were talking about.
I guess, yeah. And I'm smoking the Padron 50th anniversary natural.
Perdomo 50th anniversary. Make sure you get it right.
Yeah, the Perdomo 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah. The natural, this is an original red serial number. This was gifted to me actually by Paul Joyle. So, of Joyle's. So, like I said, 2 years to smoke this. This specific cigar. I had to smoke the Maduro. I have smoked one natural in between, but not this one. And I had to smoke the Maduro for the decade list because that was a cigar of the year. So yeah, that was what smoked. But all right, what we'll do is we'll touch base with Bear. We'll do the commercial breaks for the rest right now. The authentic Corojo leaf is one of the most robust and flavorful leaves out there. During the golden age of cigars, it was a leaf of choice to make some of the world's greatest cigars. Because it is one of the most challenging ones to cultivate, it fell out of favor by the 1990s. In the Jamestown Valley of Honduras, Julio Arroyo took on the challenge of growing Corojo in the original seeds. And in 2000, he successfully reintroduced authentic Corojo back to the market. With over 50 years' experience in the tobacco business, from growing and curing tobacco to cigar production, the Jerry Tobacco Farm has been able to continue to deliver products to market with authentic Corojo. Now at Jerry Tobacco, Julio and his son Justo bring their very own brand to market, each containing the authentic Corojo leaf. Tadascano is a mild to medium cigar in both Connecticut and Habano wrapper. Rancho Luna is a premium medium cigar available in Habano and Maduro. And Aladino is available in a 100% authentic Corojo Puro, San Andres Maduro, or Ecuadorian Connecticut shade, representing the golden age of cigars from 1947 to 1961. Now available at your local retailer, be sure to ask for Jerry Tobacco, a legacy that is tasted in every drawer. And by Placencia Cigars. Placencia Cigars is one of the world's leading growers of first-class tobacco, as they have been pioneers in the industry since 1865. Five generations of the Placencia family have continued the legacy in Nicaragua and Honduras. Today, the Placencia family's very own cigar line, led by CEO and master blender Nestor Andres Placencia, produces over 40 million handmade cigars each year. Placencia Cigars celebrates their Nicaraguan roots through their premium Alma series, inclusive of the complex blends of the Alma Fuerte, Alma de Campo, and their newest release, Alma de Fuego. East harvested the pure soils of Nicaragua. To discover more about Placencia Cigars and their collections, visit PlacenciaCigars.com.
Take a drink, Coop.
Dude, you need to tap one of us in next time. Man.
Yeah, that's man.
Javi's watching too, man. He's got his hands up, man. He was cheering you on. That's a game, man. Coop knows how to bring it.
I just lost my voice.
You got to mix a little Diet Coke, a little Diet Pepsi. Helps that out.
Was that okay? Do I need to reread that?
No, you're good.
Okay. Bear, what were you smoking tonight? As long as, so I can break for a minute with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I posted that I was like, make sure I wasn't over, I was underprepared. I had five cigars lined up for tonight. I'm still smoking my first one though. I had the Illusione Gigantes, a cigar that I've been wanting to, this is actually only this is the first time I've ever smoked it, believe it or not. And then I've also got a Wharf cigar, the Florida Valley.
Nice.
A Farce Maduro, Matilde Connecticut, and rolling with the big time, guys, I got a Cohiba Spectre. Just in case we go, like, you know, extra innings for sure.
I got the Mountain Dew. But
Mountain so
which one,
Dew? Wait,
which one did you light up, actually?
I lit up the Illusione Gigantes. It's a cigar I wanted to smoke for a long time. I've never actually had it.
I like that cigar.
This is a cigar I bought at Corona when we were down for the Barn Smoker. I still have it.
No, very good. All right, I'll get another break in here. I can talk now. I want to mention Cornelius and Anthony. If you want to be wanted for something, be wanted for something great. That's what Cornelius Bailey set out to do five generations ago, and that's what Stephen Bailey is doing with Cornelius and Anthony cigars. Using the finest tobaccos, Cornelius and Anthony brings to you Daddy Mac, Venganza, Meridian, Cornelius Ariel, Senior E Sugars, and the recently released Jet Mistress. You can find them at your local tobacconist. And I want to mention Alec Bradley. We're not going to be doing a Live True segment tonight, but I always want to mention Alec Bradley. Alec Bradley is a family company. Alan Rubin named the company after his two sons, Alec and Bradley, when they were just little tykes. Now they're all grown up, working alongside their dad, making the best damn cigars you ever smoked. Join the family. Try one today. Learn more at alecbradley.com. And by J.C. Newman Cigar Company, founded in 1895 by Julius Caesar Newman, J.C. Newman Cigar Company is the oldest family-owned cigar maker in America. For four generations and 124 years, J.C. Newman has been handcrafting many of the world's finest cigars. J.C. Newman is headquartered in an iconic 109-year-old cigar factory in the Ybor City National Historic Landmark District of Tampa, Florida. At this factory known as El Rijol, J.C. Newman rolls premium cigars by hand and hand-operated intake machines. The J.C. Newman Pensa factory is the second largest in Nicaragua, and it's where Brickhouse, Perla de Mar, El Baton, and Quorum cigars are hand-rolled. J.C. Newman's Diamond Crown, Maximus, Julius Caesar, and Black Diamond cigars are handmade by Tabacalera A. Fuente in the Dominican Republic. With its longtime partners, the Arturo Fuente family, the Newmans founded the Cigar Family Charitable Foundation, which supports low-income families in the Dominican Republic with education, healthcare, vocational training, and clean water. Visit jcnewman.com to learn more. Well, welcome back to the Primetime Show. That was an adventure, by the way. Was Javi really listening?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's tuned in.
Oh, man, I'm dead now.
No, you're not, man. He's
I'm sorry.
He's proud of you. Are you kidding me?
Well, I did have a cold for a week, right? No, I'm not having another blood infection, right? But I didn't smoke for like 5 days, but today I was good and I'm hydrated and stuff. Boy, I just cracked. I'm sorry, guys. I definitely didn't think to have you guys on standby with that. So my apologies. Damn. All right. So let's go. Now I think we're up to. Are we up to? Yeah, we're up to. Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So. In this one, okay, what we do now is we've kind of gone through who was on the bubble, but who do we think is going to make the list, and who are locks? I mean, and so this is specifically by the cigar, so we're not going by the brand. We want to nail the cigar here.
Mm-hmm. And just to make clear, I know Coop's list is like this, but for Bear, the cigars that you pick for number one should not be on this list.
Yes.
It's not.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a number one, but we're saying these are going to miss the number one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we each have five, and I tried to do a little variety with my list. So I didn't try to just pick five easy ones, but I think I feel comfortable with my five. We're all going to make it.
Okay.
All right. So, Aaron, why don't you go first?
So we're just going to do one, or we want to do all five?
How do you think we should do it?
Just do one at a time.
Let's do one at a time. We'll rotate
around.
Yeah, and if we duplicate it, we can just then say we have a duplicate from that round. So Aaron, let's start with you.
So I think there's multiples of this on the eligibles, so I didn't pick the specific Vitola, but I went with the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series.
Yeah. No argument. Jeez.
Which one? The Padron 1964.
Yeah.
Okay.
Scored a 93 in the July.
Natural Maduro.
They don't. I don't think they list it.
Okay.
It was the natural.
Okay.
Okay.
So. Okay. That's a solid pick. I can see it. I don't think anyone's going to argue any Padron. Certainly, I'm going to have a Padron coming up too. But no,
except
I don't think
Damaso. But Damaso's not eligible. So
Damaso, I've never seen Damaso qualify. By the way, just you know.
Mm-hmm. That's a true story.
So Bear, I'm gonna go next because I have a Padron as well. Unless you have a Padron, is that?
I do not have a Padron for my locks. It is. I figured one of us would pick it.
Okay.
Not so only two of us have.
So I went with the Padron Family Reserve number 50 natural. You know, I think they like the Family Reserve series. It's had a good run. Mm-hmm. I think it's due. The number 50 has been due to kind of hit this one again. So I'm going to kind of go with that one. But again, I don't think there's a Padron you could really miss with that qualified. And it's certainly you have a pick of the litter with your Padrons, that's for sure. And I'm just kind of looking at the list real quick. I mean, there was the natural. The 45 also got a 92, but I went with the 50 this time.
I think it's a solid pick, Coop. The 50th hasn't. The 50th hasn't make it, right?
I may have made it once, but we're not talking this one. The 50 year hammer. We're talking the Family Reserve.
The 50. Oh, okay. My fault. Okay.
Yeah. So
I mean, I had. You know, this isn't on my list, but I mean, the Padron that I had slotted was the 64. So
I was in a great spot. I mean, the Diplomatico is on there. It's hard to go against the Padron in that case. And it's the Principe. You can go with any one of those. And I don't think, you know, I think it's a good 64 is one that's done well on this list. And what was it? I think number 9 got it last year, right? So, I mean, 26 got it last year with the number 9.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a solid pick. But I'll go Family Reserve with it. Bear, what is your next Stone Cold Lead Pipe lock?
Top 10, guys. This is a top 10 cigar.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Padron is top 5. I mean, I'm just saying that, though.
Top 10 cigar. Espinosa Habano, number 4.
A Stone Cold Lead Pipe lock. I don't think it gets top 10. I'm sorry.
Also a former Eloso Fumar takes number 1 cigar of the year. Just saying. Mm-hmm. Resting on my laurels, guys. I just know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but he's trying again to be 2 for 2.
Top 10.
Top 5?
Top 10, Coop. That's my prediction. So top 5 is top 10. So
yeah.
It's top 10.
Is it top in the top cigar. 5?
So this is actually where I'll bring this up, guys. How just fucking crazy would it be? Just, I'm not saying that it's going to be. I'm just saying how just nuts would it be if Espinosa, the number 4, Habano number 4, got number 1 cigar of the year, okay? Mm-hmm. Cigar Aficionado will have picked their number 1 cigar of the year will have been my previous 2 number 1 cigars of the year.
If that happens, will you wear a Chevy Chase Christmas sweater?
Why would he do that?
No, in fact, if that happens, y'all need to never bring up Chevy Chase in my presence ever again. I need to get rewarded.
I will agree to that.
I'll agree to that. I will agree to that. But if not, then it's game on. Is what I'm saying. There'll be a moratorium on the Chevy Chase commentary if that cigar gets number 1. So
yes.
I'm sorry, it ain't getting top 10. I don't believe it.
Absolutely top 10.
No way.
Absolutely.
But I think it gets on. I think we agree. All right. So we have a couple of challenges here. Let's go to Aaron Loomis. What is your next one?
All right. My next one is the Alec Bradley Project 40 in the 6x52 Vitola, not the 6x60 Vitola.
By the way, I picked the same one.
I have that cigar on my list too. It wasn't on my lead pipe lock, but that's on my list too. That specific Vitola too.
I toyed with this cigar, possibly top 3.
Wow,
it's not my number 1. I
have it in the number 10 to 15 range.
Oh, I think this cigar is top 5 for Alec Bradley. I really do. Right. And Alec Bradley hasn't missed the top 10 in a while.
And I agree with that. That was a really hard. So I had Bradley Rubin on my show, And he asked me for any predictions, and he's like, "What do you think?" And I said, I think that this cigar, the Project 40, gets on. And it was a hard conversation to have. I said, I think it's going to be between 10 and 15 though.
I think it's gonna be higher. I do think it's going to be higher. But it's interesting. I was thinking back to my article on the gap between cigar aficionado and online media, but I don't know if enough, this online media guys have reviewed this high, including myself. But I don't think enough online media guys reviewed this cigar to be consensus contender. So I don't think it's going to make consensus. So I think I had Aaron and I both had the Project 40. I think we're in agreement on that.
Yeah.
On that 6x652.
Yeah.
Bear, what was your second pick?
So my second pick is a cigar brand that we haven't talked at all about tonight, guys, and it was a subject of great jovial interaction last year.
724?
No. My father is going to make the list this year. Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock.
Do not say La Promesse.
I'm not.
Okay.
That's a Lancero.
That's a Lancero. It's going to be the Lan, much to my chagrin, it's going to be the La Gran Oforta, and it's going to be the Robusto. Even though that's a really low scoring.
I agree.
That's going to be the cigar.
But he's going to be
not going to be Florida Centillis again. Sorry.
There is no way that's going to be 6 to 10. I mean, there's always going to be a top 5. I think it's 6 to 10. Possibly looking lower at 7 or 8 is what I'm thinking.
Oh, man.
I don't
That was like a that was a miss for them, man. That blend.
Mm. Yeah, but I agree with you on. I think I agree with you on the My Father one.
But
I don't think Antigua Dad gets it. That's why.
I do like that cigar.
But I think they're going to like this in a tournament setting. I could see it sneaking into the top 10. But I think it's like 7 or 8 this year. All right. So we are two rounds in. Aaron, what's your third pick?
My third pick is the AJ Fernandez Enclave Broadleaf Churchill.
Very interesting pick. It's a Churchill. It's an AJ Fernandez, yeah. 93. Interesting. It's competing with the San Latino Dominicanos in a mm-hmm. Torpedo and Robusto, and it's competing with the original San Latino Requiem Maduros in a 91-92.
Yeah.
I'm going to save my comments for later.
Okay. Okay. Can't argue. I mean, AJ is going to get there. I mean, he's going to get on the list. There's no doubt about it. Where do you think that kind of places, Aaron? Like, if you had to give a general range?
I would say 10 to 15.
So he misses the top 10 again?
Yeah, I think he's going to miss
the top 10. Well, he could get 10.
Okay, fair enough.
But
I think there's going to be another AJ Fernandez cigar that's going to get top 10. But it's not going to be an AJ. Yeah. But it's not even a lock. I didn't have it as a lock. I'll say it because it's not a lock. The Aging Room, Nicaragua.
Okay.
But I didn't put that as a lock. I was close to. All right. My next one, I gave this one away earlier when I was doing my bracketology. The Oliva Serie V Melania Torpedo.
Yeah, dude. You can bet your mortgage on it, dude.
If you tuned in late, you can see the demo. I actually showed, and there were 4 Olivas, and I narrowed it down to why it's going to be that one. There is no way Oliva's missing the top 10 in this. I think this will be somewhere between 4 and 6.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Done.
By the way, we haven't talked Cubans yet. I know we're gonna get to some Cubans in a little bit though. So yeah. I know we haven't talked. These are. I think we went non-Cubans with all these though, pretty much. Unless Barry, you went with some locks, but mm-hmm. Cubans are tougher to lock. They're a lot harder to lock. All right, Bear, what's your third one?
Well, you kind of stole my thunder, Coop, but it's the Aging Room, Nicaraguan, Cuatro Nicaraguan.
I remember you and I smoked that one, and we really liked it.
Yeah, it's the Maestro is going to make it, man. It's the Torpedo. They love Torpedos. That cigar is going to make it. Done. Done and done.
I think Aging Room doesn't miss this list. I agree. I think Rafael has established. I think that's one of the better cigars that Rafael has put under the Aging Room brand in a long time. Not that he's had bad ones, but that's a really good cigar. That did very well on Coupe as well, which may be a detriment to making this list. Sorry, Rafael. But that cigar scored. Did that cigar score 93? 94. Mm-hmm. 94. It scored.
94.
Yeah, I think this cigar makes it. I think it makes it for sure. I think it's, like I said, you and I remember we smoked it at the booth and we really enjoyed that cigar. So, a good pick. Aaron, what is your fourth pick?
My fourth pick is the Room 101 Farce. It's a Lonsdale.
Well, you
Ooh.
Suck.
Ooh.
So you suck, I picked that one. I picked the same one, too.
Okay.
What? You know.
Lonsdale's not a Lancero, so we'll see how it goes.
Oh, man.
I'm going to go with an upset, too, and I'm going to say Lonsdale as well. I know.
It's amazing when you get 1 year removed from things, Aaron, how someone changes their tune.
I'm not Lonsdale's not Lancero.
Jacob DeGrom wins one more game. Suddenly he's yeah, a Cy Young Award
exactly.
winner.
Exactly.
The problem is the other one's a Magnum.
It's not a Lancero. It's but a Lonsdale, so it's
– All right. The problem is Matt's not all missing right. this list this year, okay?
Yeah, he's not. You're right.
All right. So we have the Magnum. It's a Magnum, right, which I believe is it a 60? It's a 50. It's hot. It's a big cigar.
Yeah.
It's a bigger gauge.
Farce for ruling out Farce Connecticut, right?
Right.
Which is the other one. So the default was the it's a Lonsdale.
Okay. Yeah. Just saying. It's just interesting how things change.
But I also gave you a reason why Jacob DeGrom deserved the Cy Young.
Not a good reason, but you gave a reason.
Because Max Scherzer didn't have the year yet. You know, and same with Stevens. You know, they didn't have the year yet. It was
just basing it on wins.
Basing it on. By the way, Zach Wheeler was a good signing. We
overpaid.
We overpaid, no question. But that's what Mr. Middleton wants to win. That's what I want. So, all right. So, Aaron, you and I have been pretty close on these so far.
Yeah.
All right. Bear, what's your next one? Bear, you've been the outlier, but good picks.
I did it last year. I had, you know, a ballsy call, you know, with well, I had Warped In and Mombacho making the list.
You had Mombacho top three, if I remember.
Yeah, you are absolutely correct.
Yeah, and Nick took that slot pretty much is what happened.
Yeah, and it's interesting you bring that up because my next pick is and the anomaly will return because Foundation is not missing the top 25. It's going to be low. I already told you what number it is, but it is an absolute lock. He is not missing this list. It's not.
You know, I'm telling you, this is the most puzzling pick, right?
They like the Charter Oak. This is the second year in a row the Charter Oak's been a qualifier. They like the Charter Oak. They do.
They like it until the tournament.
Just saying. They're not.
It's a Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a Lonsdale. He's not missing. It's not happening. It's a lot.
It's a lock. Aaron, your last pick.
My last pick is the Plasencia Alma del Fuego Concepcion.
I don't think that misses either.
I don't think so either. I picked that one simply because I couldn't see them picking the Flama, and I couldn't see them picking the Forte again, even though that was a really high scoring cigar.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was it. Good pick. Where do you have it placed, Aaron? Just curious.
I would say 7 to 12.
Ooh, you have it pretty high. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I had lower, but I have it in.
I had 12 to 15.
I had it lower than you.
But I think it's him. And which size again?
Concepcion, which is what, like a Toro Extra 6x54, I think.
That smoked in. I like that size, too.
Yeah, I like the cigar this year.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's certainly going to be a contender for Coop's 2020 list, just because it was an IPCBR release. But mm-hmm. All right. My last one. And I know this is going to have an interesting discussion, but I think everyone's not going to disagree with this one. The Illusione Epernay 10th anniversary.
Oh, that's the one I had picked.
I love that. So, you picked that one as your last one?
That's a good
pick. No, not my lock, but I have it in, and I have that cigar in.
I don't think Dion's missing. I mean, look, I think this year it's an easy choice which Dion cigar is making it. Dion's got 5 cigars in there. But I don't think he's going to miss with it. I think this is the one. I mean, I think it's very easy. Where this cigar lies, I don't know. But it was all Epernay stuff that was reviewed this year.
Yeah, a lot of it, though, was 91.
The Le Voyage made it, right? That's that big A size, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's the big A size he did. But, yeah, they did, because they did a line review of Illusione. Yep.
Everything qualified.
Right.
I'm gonna put this at 4 to 6.
Okay.
I think this is gonna be a big year for the Year of the Gringo.
Okay.
I think we'll have more discussion on that, but I think that's my opinion. All right, Bear, your last pick.
You know, we've talked a lot about their trends, you know, the Torpedoes, you know, they don't like Lanceros, they don't like Connecticuts, but they do like Nicaraguan tobacco. And that's something we haven't really talked about as much tonight. And I think, and they do like Nicaraguan manufactured cigars. I think the surprise cigar brand kind of, I know we're going to talk about surprises a little bit, and this coming out of, so I'm kind of teasing a little bit early, and I apologize, Coop, to steal on thunder from a next segment, but I think Black Label is a lock. And
you're using that Mombacho logic from last year.
I don't have them in the top 3. Okay. I'm just saying. It's going to be a Churchill. It's going to be the Lawless Churchill.
I
like the Last Rites better personally as a cigar, but
I love James Brown. I think, you know, everyone, no one can argue the job he's done. He's had a great year. I just don't see him cracking. You don't think it's top 10, right?
No. So you heard me say that the Foundation is going to be the number 24 cigar of the year.
Right.
The black Label Lawless Churchill will be number 25.
I can't see it. I give you credit. I mean, but I don't see it.
Resting on my laurels. Defending champ. Keep saying it.
With the amount of slots open, I don't see it. Yeah, but we'll see. You never know. I mean, Sublime's made it. Sublime's got on there. Nat Chico make it, right? So, I mean, it's happened. I'm not saying it can't. I'm not saying it can't either. So,
Nat,
I mean,
Chico has some highly rated cigars again this year, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, true.
I mean, is it a fool's errand to pick them as in the top 25 again?
It's not.
I don't think it is.
No. I mean, you know, we didn't do a couple of other brands I just want to mention that I think I left off when we did the bubble. I mean, we had HVC, the San Ysidro. You guys think that's going to make any play?
I thought about putting that on my lead pipe lock pick, but I just don't know.
They like the tops of Habanos. That's why I was wondering about that one. And the other one was, we didn't talk about this one, was the Sereno Taino Toro. But I don't see that one making it.
I don't see Sereno getting on for a second year in a row, unfortunately. So interesting story about the San Ysidro. So the San Ysidro blend by Rainier, made at Topsa, you guys know that I do my, I host the Picks of the Month videos for Michaels.
Right.
That cigar has been a pick of the month more times than any blend ever. And it's been picked by more staff members.
The Divinos or any line? The Divinos the
San Ysidro specifically. No, any, like, just the blend. So, like, different size, different Vitolas, but just that blend is more times than any other blend. And it probably won't get touched. I mean, it's already, it's beloved.
Interesting. So. Yeah, I don't see it getting on here either, but it's interesting you say that because it's kind of like my least favorite of his lines.
Wow. Okay.
So, I mean, again, it's not a bad line. It's kind of it kind of goes back with Topsa with their Habanos. I'm just not a big fan of their Habanos. Compared to what I know their core competencies are the Corojos and the San Andreas cigars. And I look at that as their core competency. And the Criollo, you know, some Criollo to a lesser extent. That's the only reason. But cigar aficionado, you never know. Yeah. All right. So what I'd like to do is I'm going to just do a couple. So I don't have to read the commercials and die my voice. I'm just going to do a couple here right now.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into our next segment, next part of segments, which we will get into our left field. With Dumbarton Tobacco Trust, master blender Steve Sacca set out to create personal compromiso, cigars without compromise. This represents an expression of Sacca's closely held values and attests in three simple words everything Sacca wants to accomplish. Cigars are more than a passion for Sacca, they're a way of life. As for the brands of Dumbarton Tobacco Trust, Sober Mesa, Mi Querida, Umbagog, Muestra de Sacca, Todos los Días, and Sin Compromiso at your local tobacconist. And by M. Bombay Cigars. M. Bombay Cigars represent the most admired cigar culture of Cuba. They select the best of the best quality tobacco to use in the aging process. M. Bombay Cigars are enrolled in Costa Rica by some of the world's most experienced cigar rollers, giving a unique smoking experience. The band portrays the detailed and artistic nature of our small industry. Try M. Bombay, Gaia, M. Cuba, and the new M. Esteli line. M. Bombay Cigars, where the cigar is a way of life. So let's kind of get into, before we get into our next part, which we get into the big picks, we have a couple of other areas to kind of hit here. And the next one is we have some brands, the left field brands that we think are going to get into the top 25. So we talked about some bubble cigars. We talked about, you know, some cigars that we had the Stone Cold lights. Now, these are ones I think that we, not necessarily Stone Cold Lead Pipe Blocks, but I think they're ones that we think have a shot that you may not think will make it. So, Bear, we'll start this one off with you this time.
Well, I already mentioned Black Label. So I actually have another one, and I actually have a specific cigar because it's not really a brand. It is, and it's not. You know, it's we're going to talk about our first Cuban tonight. The Juan Lopez number 2, I think, is going to make the top 25.
I have it as well.
I think that's a left field brand specifically because when people think about Cubans, they – I mean, I love the one. I love this cigar personally. I think it smokes consistently, which is, you know, that's always the thing about Cubans, right? Is the consistency. I think it smokes consistently well. I think that the flavor is fantastic, I think it comes out of left field because when you think about Habanos cigars, you think about Cohiba, you think about Monte Cristo. And other brands that I'm sure we'll talk about later, but the Juan Lopez just doesn't get talked about, and I think for that reason I have it as a left field brand.
I had it as well as one of my left field brands. I heard some people talking about this as a potential number one cigar. I don't see it, because this is a Juan Lopez is a more of a boutique-y type of brand out of Cuba. By the way, this is one of my favorite cigars out of Cuba. The Juan Lopez Selection number 2. It's a fantastic cigar. But I think you're right. I don't think they're going to give it to a smaller batch boutique cigar. You know, it's going to be something more high profile with a brand that they did a smaller batch run. But I do think that this – I think there's going to be 3 Habanos on the list this year. But I think this one is going to have one of those 3 slots for sure. Like I said, this is one of the better cigars. When I went to Cuba, I smoked several of these as well. When I went to England, I smoked the Britannia version of it, which was very good too.
Whenever I have access to Habano cigars, this is the cigar I pick up. It is absolutely my favorite Habanos. The only exception to that is a cigar that was gifted to me by our good friend Seth Geis, which is the Gloria Cubana Caribbean Exclusivo. That is the best Cuban cigar I've ever smoked.
This is
absolutely my favorite.
I'm going to be smoking the Andorra cigar, Gregory Camano, for a review pretty soon. I just got some cigars from Andorra. Nice. Someone who went there, yeah. But I agree. I think Juan Lopez makes this as a left field pick. Aaron.
It's a brand that's been mentioned a little earlier, but I think I picked 3. I had picked 3 that could make this from left field, and the first one is Nat Chico.
It's left field again because no one would expect it to come back again.
Yeah,
I agree.
But they have two cigars that are eligible, and I think one of them will
high scores, man.
Has a chance to make it. So I wouldn't be shocked if it was on the list.
Like, do you guys have the same feeling that I do? Like, Nat Cinco has knows where the bodies are buried,
right?
How do they keep getting these scores? I mean, I don't know of any humidor in my area that carries them.
Mm-hmm. They're getting a big push in the Southeast because now Dean Parsons is connected with them.
Right.
Now, I don't think they're getting on the list because of nothing against Dean Parsons. I don't think Dean Parsons is getting them on the Cigar Aficionado list. I think there's some good relation. They have some money behind them and with Xander Gregg, who's their distributor. But Dean has been working the humidors in the Southeast. So Tailored Smoke actually does very well with the Nat Cinco cigars. They do extremely well with those cigars. And by the way, they were my second left field pick as well. So I had that as well. For that, like I said, it's left field because no one knew who they were last year.
Right.
Now people know who they were, but I don't think anyone say 2 years in a row make the list. I think they make this list. I agree with Aaron on that. All right, Bear, your second pick.
So I did had a different interpretation. I realize now that I'm looking at the rundown, it does say brand. And I went specific, you know.
That's so fine.
I went Black Label Lawless. I went.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah, the brand is fine.
And I went, you know, Juan Lopez number two.
Either way is fine. Either way.
Okay,
fine.
So this is obviously a lock for the top 25. You would even say a lock for the top 10, and it's Arturo Fuente. But if you look at the Arturo Fuente qualifying cigars, there's a couple of obvious picks there. Some of their higher well known stuff. They have Opus X Double Corona, which is a size that they love. It's an Opus X. The Hemingway series, which made it last year. The cigar that I have, John Carlos, which has made it before. I like that cigar too. The Hemingway Maduro work of art. The Opus X Reserva Chateau. I have the Arturo Fuente Rosado Sungrown Magnum R Vitola 44.
Mm-hmm. Scored very well. Scored
a 93 recently. So I kind of made a couple of picks last year based on their score and how high their score was in recent issues and stuff and releases. And I think this is the reason why this cigar specifically out of left field when it's
when you look
consider
at the cigar,
the competition. Yeah.
Like Opus X, Don Carlos, Casa Cuba. Yes.
Yeah.
That's probably the least, but I can see it. Yeah.
It's the least likely if I read off all those Fuente cigars to you and said, hey, what cigar aficionado going to pick? You're putting that at the bottom of the list, but I think that's the one that makes it this year.
The 44. Not a bad pick. All right, Aaron.
My next pick is McAuliffe. I think that would be interesting if they made the list as well.
2 years in a row, yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be a big deal for them.
Which one? Just out of curiosity.
Let me pull it up because I know that there was two, but
the Grande Bold or the Leyenda. There's two Grande Bolds or the Leyenda.
Yeah, I think it would probably be the Leyenda.
Yeah, that's what I've got.
Yeah, the Gomez Sanchez 1RA Generacion Leyenda number one.
Interesting. And I had the Nat Cinco as my second one as well. Okay.
I have Nat Cinco in my top 25. I just, like, they know where the bodies are buried, man. I'm serious. I mean, I'm not saying they're bad cigars. I'm not saying that at all. It's just kind of random.
I think they've had a good year building off of, like I said, at least what I'm seeing in the Southeast, they had a good year of building off that rating. Mm-hmm. So, because at least when Dean was going into the stores, and people knew more about Epic, I think, than that cigar originally. But when they said Nat Cinco and Dean would come in and say, you know, hey, this is the one that landed on the list, you know, people were paying attention to it. And so it makes a difference when you make this list.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Bear, your final pick from left field.
Well, I said Black Label earlier, but it's Black Label, Juan Lopez number two, the Arturo Fuente 44. If you want me to pick another one, I kind of think that
yeah, you can
while he's paid his dues and everything. I just think that, and I had said it earlier, I think the aging room cigar, you know, the Cuatro Nicaraguan Maestro, I kind of think it's out of left field, but when you consider the brand that it represents,
I wouldn't say Raphael's been on like 4 or 5 times.
Right, yeah. Now. Like I said, like it was,
yeah,
you know,
it was a tougher year. It was a tougher year for left field. I can say that it was because there's so much competition. All right, Aaron, who was your last pick?
So my last pick is a Habanos brand, and I'm going to go way left field for this one.
Oh, here we go.
And I'm going to say Vaqueros.
That was a good pick. But do they put that and Juan Lopez as two of the Cubans? That was like, I was wondering about that.
If it's blind, they don't really know, so.
Supposedly, yeah. Seth introduced me to this brand about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was blown away. He said, you got to smoke these things. These mm-hmm. are like some of the most inexpensive Cubans. I think they're mixed filler. But yeah, they're good.
Yeah. I think there's a shot that it makes it.
Yeah. I think it'll be that or the Juan Lopez. I don't see both getting on there. Mm-hmm. Assuming there's 3 Cubans. Now, Bear, you think there may be 4 Cubans on the list this year.
Yeah.
And we'll spend a little time on that towards the end too. All right. So, I feel good because I have a pick that no one picked from left field.
All right.
And this is, I would say this is a long shot, but a realistic shot. Because they only had one cigar in play. It scored a 93. And that's Gran Habanos La Conquista.
Yeah, that's a good pick for left
field. It's a good pick, man.
I think there's a shot with this one. I really do.
That cigar.
It's a good cigar. So we'll see. It kind of fits a cigar aficionado mantra. The disadvantage is coming out of Honduras, but I could see this as a 15 to 20 landing somewhere there. Like I said, it scored well. We'll see how it does it in the tournament.
I think unfortunately, because we all have a very high affinity and respect and enjoy the Aladino cigars. If the choice is between, in terms of Honduras, is between Aladino, Iroha, and George, I think George is going to get it with this cigar.
I think Aladino is going to have a tougher road with this one. I mean, that's, again, this is, I would, Aladino Toro is still good. There's something about this cigar that I think resonates with aficionado. It's just my opinion. Because I know I had the Aladino out. But I think this one, there was something.
It's a good pick. I like it.
So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. It's an interesting one. All right. So those are any other left field people I want to mention.
I don't have any other ones.
Okay. So what we'll do is we'll just go into some of the annual staples who missed the top 10 this year and maybe missed the list entirely. So we can name as many. I have a couple. I think, Aaron, you have a couple. We can name as many as we want.
Yeah, I just have one.
I have a third one I want to add to this list. So it's not going to be a popular one. So, because I know both of these are probably going to be on the other list anyway. So, Aaron, we'll let you start this one.
All right. We talked about it earlier, but I say Rocky Patel. I think he misses the list completely.
No way. I have a Gabe Kapler bet on this one.
Yeah,
You're going to look good in that orange and black, man.
Yeah, he'll definitely miss the top 10, but I don't think he makes the list at all, man. It's just
Rocky Patel never missed the list in how long?
Hey.
He's a staple on this list.
So I have a theory about this. Y'all ready for it?
Yep.
First of all, the edge isn't going to – they're not going to give the edge just another spot. And I know there's other qualifiers.
They give Siri V. Manani. I mean, Siri V gets it all the time. That's why I say.
Siri V is a completely different class of a cigar coupe.
I get it. You don't think the Old World Reserve kind of makes a little comeback this year?
No. I'm with Aaron on this. It misses the list entirely, and here's my theory on why it misses the list entirely. The hullabaloo between Cigar Aficionado and PCA and that whole thing about them not getting the story and all that ball, you know, and Rocky standing up there arm in arm with PCA. It's politics, man. And he didn't have a very strong showing this year. He didn't make, he's not making the top 25.
Is he making the list? Is he making? Aaron says he's
not making. He's not making the list at all. I'm with Aaron on this. He's not making the list at all.
let me repeat this.
You are going to look so good in that orange and black.
I will not. Let me tell you something. This is a Stone Cold Lead Pipe block. Rocky Patel is making this list. There is no way in God's green earth.
Orange and black is going to bring out your eyes. You're going to look so handsome.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I do not have a blood infection this year saying this, okay? There is no way Rocky Patel is missing this list. All you guys are nuts on this one.
Look, Rocky is, you know, arguably worked harder in this industry in the last 20 years than at least equal to a lot of these people on this list. All credit in the world to what he's done for this industry. It's no disrespect intended. It really isn't.
I like that old World Reserve Maduro.
Yeah, you're crazy.
It's not bad. It's a good cigar.
Just saying. Aaron and I are right, and you're going to look so handsome in that orange.
Now, I do have Rocky Patel as missing the top 10.
Of course.
But he's not missing this.
And the top 15 and the top 20. And the top. You know, 26 is not top 25, because you're saying.
There is nothing that has soured with the relationship with Rocky Patel and Cigar Aficionado. I don't see it.
Look, Randy Griggs is in the chat, man. He says he'll send you the Giants gear.
I'm in. I'll send it back, too, when I'm done. I will wear it. Randy, I will wear it. There is no way. I just don't see it. I have never been so confident in my life.
That's what's going to make so sweet.
I'm still not making a dress bet, though. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. Sokka enjoyed that too much.
No, that's been done, man. You can't do the same bit.
Yeah. I did Kapler, you know. But by the way, just so I did get a little word that there was a little bit of on Smoke Night Live, but I haven't heard it yet, that there was a little trash talking about me on Kapler, Randy. I have to listen to the segment. I have not heard it yet. But I do have moles who told me. They said, you got to hear what Rob said about the Kapler stuff.
Yeah.
And Jack. And Jack was involved. Apparently, Jack instigated Rob on this, is what I heard. So I got to hear this. I will be checking that out and have a commentary back on that. It's all good. It's all good. But I heard about it. But I haven't heard it yet. You guys heard it?
No.
Okay. No. Okay. So once we know. All right. So we had Rocky Patel was I think, on – at least for me, missing the top 10, though. I don't think it's too competitive for the top 10, I agree. But he's not missing the list. All right, let's go second round. Second pick. You got another pick, guys.
I don't have a pick. I don't have any other picks.
Oh, you just – okay.
I'm so confident.
I only went with one.
Okay.
I have two more. So this is a brand that's made the top 10 the last 2 years, and much to the great work of our good friend Terrence Riley, but I don't think Aganorsa Leaf makes the top 10 this year. I think it's a crying shame considering what did make the top 10 last year.
Let's look at what's in play. There was three cigar.
The Signature Selection Bellicoso, the Corona Gorda, which is going to make the list. That's the one I got picked, but it's going to score lower, so it's going to be outside.
And the Casa Fernandez Miami Lancero is not going to make it.
It's not going to make it because it's a Lancero. But if it was a Lonsdale, I suppose Coop would vote for it. But just
yes. No. Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough one for him to make the top 10.
And the other one I had was I mentioned it earlier was the Project 40 by Alec Bradley.
I think it makes
15,
it.
10, well, I guess I sort of have it outside the top 10. I said 10 to 15, so it could, okay. I guess, be top 10 by hitting number 10. But okay. I have a 10 to 15.
Okay. All right, I have a few. I want to run by you guys. Right. I think we mentioned this one already, EP Carrillo. Doesn't make
it's not making the top 10.
I think now this one's more of a miss the list. And I hate to say it, I think Drew Estate's missing this list this year.
Again, 2 years in a row?
I think they miss it. And it's a shame because that Herrera 3 Miami is a great cigar. It did very well in Coupe. So I think that one is going to miss. I think Hoya to Nicaragua is a long shot.
Really?
I think it's a long – I mean, so let me – can I just pull – can I share again? Let me show you where my logic's coming with a lot of this. And you guys can tell me no. You see my screen, yeah?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when I went and I did my bracketology, right? And like this is the Hector. I looked at these lock spots, okay? 13 slots, okay, are I think locked. And I know you guys disagree with Rocky Patel.
Right.
I mean, you may argue a little about the general one, okay? We haven't talked much about the general. And I know LaFleur, we don't agree. You don't agree, Aaron. I think 13 locks I have here. Then I get into these highly probable spots. I have 5 right there.
Yep.
That's why you be, and I have Aging Room is one of those pair. Illusione, AJ Fan. Not quite every year, but there. Then I have these strong wild cards. Okay. And I did put Foundation in there, Bear, at the time, right? But I was just, There's a couple other. Look how few slots there are when you start getting down here. We're not talking a lot of slots open in this thing, is what I'm getting. So if you look at the top 18, let's forget everything. There's like 7. This is what Hector was kind of explaining. There's not a lot of slots here for someone like Espinoza. He's got to grab one of those 7 slots. And look at all these brands that you have competing for these 7 slots here. It's not easy.
JC and, Newman doesn't have a qualifying cigar.
Yeah, they do.
They
had, maybe I'm wrong. They didn't. They didn't. Yeah. So that's it. Okay. So JC Newman didn't have a qualifying cigar.
It's another one.
Did they have Diamond Crown? Did they have a Diamond Crown?
No.
No.
Okay. So that one, okay, is open. Okay. So that's one. So there is an extra slot open with that one, right? But yeah, you could put, but don't forget that Altadis can still get 2 slots. Habanos can get a 4th with that as well. And some, like, remember one year Arturo Fuente got a Fuente and a Casa Cuba in there?
Yeah.
And then last year Trinidad and Monte Cristo got on from Altadis. Someone could steal a 2nd slot is what I'm saying. Ashton could steal 2 as well. So what I'm saying is there's not a lot of room here.
Still can't believe that Trinidad made it.
And there's all the companies I missed. I didn't really go through the outside shot ones, but I think there's not a lot of slots is what I'm kind of getting at.
Sure.
So that's why I have Hoya not making it. I think it's very competitive. Not that I think the cigar, this is not an indictment on what I think about the cigars. All right. So anything else before we get into our selections for number 1?
Yes.
Okay.
So we've talked about general a little bit, so I want to get your guys' picks on what the general cigar is that makes the list. I have mine that I think is going to be it, but
okay.
I'm curious to your thoughts.
Let me pull up my list here. So while we're doing that, so general had – I was going – there was only 3, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's CAO Nicaragua, Punch Rare Corojo, and the Punch Diablo. I went Punch Diablo.
I agree.
Yeah. But I can see – I think they only get 1. I think they get a slot. General doesn't miss this a lot.
Isn't the Cohiba Siglo 4, isn't that the – is that a Cuban or is
that's
that
– Cuban. Cuban. That's the Cuban one.
Okay. Yeah, so that was Cuban. That was mislabeled on the chart. So. Mm. Okay. Yeah. So you think it's the Punch Rare Corojo?
Diablo.
You think it's the Diablo?
Yeah. AJ Fernandez.
You got 93 compared to the 91s for the other ones. So
yeah. Okay. I mean, I thought it was going to be a punch anyway. It didn't really matter. I was just.
They could go Punch Rare, but I'm telling you, I would not be surprised if CAO Nicaragua lands on this list. But I.
That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Does General miss the list?
No.
God, that would be something.
That's a very
That's a bigger shock than Rocky Patel missing the list.
No, not.
No?
I think they've missed it before. But the way it's only, you think about general, all these cigars, only three cigars in play, and two of them. And the Scamp, the Punch Diablo Scamp is the 93. Well, that's an interesting one. We mentioned the, I'm trying to think. I want to hold off on a couple of these other brands. The ones I want to mention, I'm going to hold off on. Let's go to Ashton. I think that's the other one I want to hit. So Ashton had quite a few cigars on this list. They had 8 cigars.
Yeah.
The one I think that makes it is the Mia Moore makes a comeback on the list this year.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah, good call. No, absolutely. That's what I've got.
Yeah.
Because they're not doing the San Cristobal Quintessence, because that made it last year, I think, right?
I don't think it did.
Or two years ago? Was it 2 years ago?
I know Quintessence got number one on Cigar Journal 1 year. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting year for Pepin. Because I think we'll get the Pepin. I think it's going to be very interesting year for Pepin if he can get that on there. What about the cabinet selection? Do you think that has a chance?
No.
No.
No. So, yeah, I think that was the other one we were saying. And we talked about Fuente already.
It's a Petite. It's a 91. I know it's a recent 91, but no, it's not making it.
How about the two Altidus? Altidus doesn't have a lot in play, but the H. Upman 175 and the Monte Cristo Platinum got that 94.
Yeah, that was odd, but.
You know, Platinum's made the list before. Like in 2004 or 2005, it made it.
They do like San Andreas. It is a San Andreas cigar. A lot of people don't. A lot of people forget that.
It's a Churchill. They're both Churchills. But again, I think, Bear, you made the point earlier about the H. Upman 175. Do they go for another AJ Fernandez? I mean, there's only so many AJ Fernandez cigars that are going to make this list, and one of them is going to be from him. And now we already just said, hey, Punch Diablo makes it.
Mm. Well, you said that. I said the Rare Corojo, but yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize JC Newman missed it this year. That's a big surprise. They're usually a staple on here. All right. So why don't we do a quick I'll do the last two commercials, and then we'll get into our final picks here.
Yeah.
All right. Caldwell Cigar Company launched in 2014 with a very simple mantra: create innovative ambition. Since day one, they have done things differently. They have challenged the industry norms to produce sticks that time and time again deliver on that promise. Look for Caldwell products or any number of their collaborations at your local retailer today. And by Casa Cuevas Cigars. The Cuevas family has 4 generations of experience in cigar making. For many years, they have manufactured cigars for many industry leaders out of their Las Lavas factory in the Dominican Republic. Now the Cuevas family is bringing their very own brand to market with Casa Cuevas Cigars. Try the Casa Cuevas Connecticut, the Casa Cuevas Habano, and the Casa Cuevas Maduro, as well as the new Cuevas Reserva line. If they don't carry it, be sure to ask your local retailer for Casa Cuevas Cigars. Casa Cuevas Cigars, from our casa to your casa. I want to mention a Cattle Baron meat moment here. All I had was turkey to like the last week. So, but I got to just mention something. One of my boys does not like turkey. So my wife made this spiral ham, which was just simply out of this world. I mean, it was like, all I know is it was like we were cutting pieces off that were almost like bacon. It was that good. And that's a great cigar. By the way, ham and a Cattle Baron cigar, I actually paired it. It's actually really good. So yeah,
Ham's amazing.
Ham, I mean, when you get a good spiral ham, you can get a bad one, but when you get a good one, it's right on. Yeah. So that was like the star of the house here was the spiral ham last week.
Have you guys ever had goose?
Yes.
I don't think I have.
I really want to try my hand at making it this Christmas. I really wanted to try. Expensive, though.
Yeah. Have you guys done turducken at all?
Yes.
No.
I wasn't a fan of it.
Oh, Aaron, you're missing out, dude. Oh, no, Coop. Oh, God. Right. Then you had bad turducken. Yeah. Oh, turducken's amazing.
I mean, I've had them all individually, but never as a single.
Turducken will make your son like turkey, Coop.
Okay.
Turducken is incredible.
It wasn't bad. I guess I had higher expectations, but I don't know. Maybe it wasn't cooked right or something like that. My wife didn't make it.
They probably overcooked it.
It was dry. It was a little dry.
That's the problem. So the point when you're cooking turducken, duck fat is magical. I mean, it's like up there with bacon fat. Duck fat is a magical thing. And if you let that render correctly, oh, it does amazing things to both the turkey and the chicken and the duck itself, obviously. It's incredible. Yeah, turducken is the shit. It is awesome when it's done correctly.
It seems it lost some steam in the last few years. Like, remember, like 10 years
ago. Well, yeah, because what's his name isn't promoting it anymore. Madden, right? Madden was the big.
Oh, yeah.
He was the big influencer in regards to that.
Yeah. That was true.
That word, but.
Yeah, I miss Madden. I mean, he's a big. Tim doing those Thanksgiving games were awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. All right, so I think this is the big segment here, our picks for number one. Now, what we did is we picked a Cuban and a non-Cuban. And we'll say, and we'll pick one of each, and then we can say which one we think is the number one.
Okay.
All right. Bear, I'm going to let you start this one off this time.
Yeah, so I think this is kind of interesting because, like, last year, as I, you know, was very just adamant about, and yes, I ended up being right. This is the last time I'm going to say it. I promise. But you guys were just adamant that a Cuban was going to be the number one cigar.
And Sir Winston, we were adamant it was the Sir Winston.
Right.
Cigar.
Yeah.
And you guys were, and I absolutely just was not going to have it. But I find, you know, much like you, Coop, a year later changes things. So I am of the mind that this year a Cuban cigar is absolute. Now, I did pick a non-Cuban because I wanted to stay in line, but I believe a Cuban cigar is going to be the number one cigar of the year.
All right.
It is not going to be the Juan Lopez number two, which I have in my top 25. Correct. It is not going to be the much beloved, behooved, and popular Cohiba Bahique. It is going to be the Joya de Monterrey, Epicure number two Tubo. It's 93.
All right.
Very good pick.
It's becoming incredibly popular.
It's not a bad pick.
And it's
an iconic cigar in Habano's portfolio. Yeah. I didn't pick that one, but I'm, yeah. I can't argue. I could see it. They tend, you know, going back again, Monty number two, you know, the Bolivar getting it, the Corona getting that. So, yeah, I'm not against that one.
So, do we want to do our Cubans across?
Let's do our Cubans first. We'll do our Cubans first.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that's where I'm coming from, guys. I think this year is absolutely going to be a Cuban. I do have some non-Cubans picked, that's my number one cigar of the pick. Okay. Of the year.
Okay. And it's a Cube. Bear's going Cuban. Aaron, what about you?
So it's the cigar that Bear just mentioned. And I am going to go with the Cohiba Bahique 52. That I think will be the first repeat. Is that correct? If it does win?
I was against. Yeah.
No, just as much as I was last year, Aaron, about the My Father Florida Centilles is not going to be the Bahique.
So what I think is interesting this year is that there's another cigar that is a copycat of this cigar that is eligible to be on this list, and that is the L'Atelier Lat 52.
Right.
And I think it's a possibility that both of these make the list. But I think for the Cuban, the possibility for number one is that Bahique 52. Make it a repeat, because I think that they're starting to become available more than, you know, there's been a long run where they've been just kind of completely not available. So I think they're starting production a little bit more now and things like that. I think there's a chance that this one makes it.
I think the Bahique makes it. I'm in agreement with that, Aaron. But I don't see it. It's
one of those cigars where you know what you're smoking. So there's no ifs, ands, or buts.
If you're going into a tournament, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing you could confuse it with is the Lat 52. That's the only thing you can confuse it with. So you know what it is. And once you light it up, you're going to know, you know, the flavors are not similar between the two of those cigars. So you know what it is. So if you have a penchant for making this the number one, you have a chance to, you know, influence your vote. So,
well, maybe your point makes the point that it's not going to be, if you could confuse the two.
But if they feel strongly enough about it, you know, they could say, you know, it's a repeat. So,
Yeah, I just no, I don't see him doing it. All right. I just no.
It's a long shot. It's a gutsy pick, but in a tournament, I get what you're saying there, Aaron.
Yeah.
If there's truly this is a tournament that can go through, but I think you would you know if you're smoking blind, I mean you should be able to tell the difference between a Latin and a Bahique.
Absolutely, you'll yeah. know.
Yeah. It's an interesting pick. You can't. You haven't been able to get them over a while.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a gutsy pick. It's a good. Yeah. All right. So mine.
Yeah.
I went Hoya de Monterey. I went to La Jolla de Rio Seco. I think they really like that cigar. I've heard some.
Clearly, they do.
Yeah, it got a 94. I actually was leaning towards that number two Tubo as well. I just think I don't see him giving a Tubo number one. I guess I don't. But I think Hoya de Monterey is going to get a very high rating this year. I think this will be a top three. Hoya de Monterey, the La Jolla, I think will be a top three for sure. And I'm gonna slot it probably at three this year. And if I had us, and I'll kind of get in. I think if you had to look at three Cubans this year to get on, I'm gonna say Hoya de Monterey, Juan Lopez, and I'm gonna say the Monty and Petita Mundo gets on. So I think it's gonna be three. There was a lot of punches that qualify, but I don't think they get on. Long shots to San Cristobal and Vigueros, but I'm gonna go for my number one Cuban. I don't think this gets number one though. The La Jolla de Rio Seco.
Interesting.
Yes. So I think we have – it's hard. Cubans are tough to pick because we don't have enough access. We kind of have to look at it.
And there's so many options that are eligible on the list.
Yeah.
You have more of that than anything else. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. So it is tough, but we'll see. I was wondering if that San Cristobal gets on because of the anniversary of Havana, but I don't think they factor that in.
Yeah.
I don't think they're sentimental. Cigar aficionados, you can say they were sentimental 2 years ago. I still say that was coincidence. All right. So those are our Cuban picks. Bear, what is your non-Cuban pick? I know you went number one already. We have your number one.
So I have two cigars here.
You can't pick two.
Okay, fine. Okay,
no,
fine.
Okay. I want to hear both. I'm busting on you. I want to hear both.
Okay, if you want me to pick one over the other, I will.
I do want you to pick one over the other.
Okay, that's totally fine. Okay. So much as I was talking about Rocky Patel missing the list because of political reasons, and Nat Sherman missing the list for political reasons, I have to go political on the non-Cuban on why this person will make the number one cigar of the year if it's a non-Cuban. Okay. It's a guy who's paid his dues. It's a guy who's well respected. It's a guy who supports the industry. And he has undertaken, produced an invaluable project to our industry. And that is the production of documentary Hand Rolled. So Mr. Pete Johnson will have the number one cigar of the year. If it's not a Cuban, it's going to be a top three. It's not going to be the L'Atelier. It's going to be the Tatuaje. Excuse me. Let me make sure I get this right, Pete. I owe you respect here. It's the 15th anniversary, Rosado Oscuro Bellicoso Fino. That will be the cigar. And it'll be a top three. And if it's not a Cuban, he will have the number one cigar of the year. But I have another cigar we can discuss later.
Yeah, I want to hear the other one. I'm just curious.
It's two guys that have really paid their dues. And it's a collaboration cigar, and it's the San Latino Dominicano, the Torpedo, or Bellicoso, whatever it is. The aging AJ Fernandez San Latino Dominicano Torpedo, the 93. Scored a 93 in June.
That's an interesting pick.
Hochi and AJ, man.
So, because Aaron picked the broadleaf, but I see your logic where you're going with that. Did they go another collaboration?
That's why I was said I would save my comments on AJ for later when he picked the broadleaf. So I think if you wouldn't even say it, those are my top three cigars this year.
You know, my knee-jerk reaction would be that's a terrible pick, but no, I see what you're saying. It's a pot. I could see it. If you're going to give it to AJ, give it to someone he's collaborated with. Interesting.
And it's Hochi, man.
Oh boy, that would be a real – that would be very interesting if that happened.
So those are, and if you want to say it, those are, I have this all top five, possibly top three. Pete's getting it though, if it's not Cuban. So if you want me to pick one over the other,
okay,
it's going to be Pete.
Good pick. Aaron, you.
All right. My pick for number one cigar of the year, and I think this will be the number one. I don't think it's going to be a Cuban. I think it will be a non-Cuban. And that is the Illusione Epernay 10th anniversary.
It was a lock. That's a lock. Yeah. It's going to be a very high-ranked cigar. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
They love the Epernay. They love that blend.
They love this anniversary one, too.
Yeah. I think that nails it.
I think it is a solid pick.
He's been knocking on the door for a long time, man.
Yeah, he has. And I thought last year he might get it, too.
Yeah, so that was a disappointing rating last year for him. I mean, top 25 is an honor for anybody, but, you know, it's for that cigar to get as low as it did last year.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's a great pick, Garrett. They love the Epernay. You know, it's a guy who deserves it as well, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I have not smoked it yet. I will be smoking it within the next 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, I haven't smoked it either.
It's been a cigar that I've been...
Have you procured it?
I have it in hand.
Okay, just saying.
So that's why I said I can smoke it.
Because if you're right, then you're never getting it.
Yeah, and I just want to say on the air that I have not smoked it yet, but I will say that I will be smoking it in the next couple weeks, just before anybody has anything, if it does make number one and it scores on my list as well. I don't want anybody to think that I copied the CA list or anything like that.
So when it gets a 6.2, you know, you can also.
Exactly. All it has to do is get higher than a 7.07 and it's in good shape. So that's all I'll say.
So it could still qualify this year.
Absolutely. Yeah, it will qualify this year.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. So I want to mention mine, and this is some discussion points because you guys both mentioned the two finalists that I had. And it was very interesting that you kind of both mentioned that. So on my two finalists, what at Illusione, 10th anniversary Epernay, and the Tatuaje. Now, we said that Stone Cold Lead Pipe Blocks aren't our number one, so you know mine is Tatuaje, the 15th anniversary. I think this is peach year. He's got the size. He's got the blend. He's paid his dues. And here is where – this is my year of the gringo. Here's where it gets really interesting. This is kind of what, and this is where I'm going to get in a little trouble here. So I looked at both of those cigars and I said, I can go either way with this, right?
Yeah, you're not losing.
No, I mean, but I could see them going either way with this cigar. But I looked at the factory, I looked at the relationship with CA.
Right.
And that was why I went with Pete. Two great cigars. Wouldn't it be really cool? I don't think we'll see Pete and Dion 1 and 2, though. I don't think you're going to see it land like that.
Yeah, you probably see a Cuban in between them, right?
You'll probably see a couple. So I think, like I said, that's why I had Dion at 4. I don't think they're going to pick two brands that don't have the factory. So I could see it like maybe Tatuaje going 1, Padron 2. Maybe Padron gets 2 again, or Fuente gets 2. 3, the Cuban, the Hoya. 4, Dion or something like that. But I think it's going to be something weird like that. I think both those guys are getting top 10. But I think it's a showdown with those two guys. I think – and I think – Bear, I agree with a lot of the stuff you said about Pete, you know, too. And just for the record, Aaron, we talked about this, and I mentioned it to Bear. We actually wanted to ask Pete to come on the show this year too.
Right.
Not because we were going to pick this, because we hadn't even picked – he just couldn't make it. And I'm hoping – but Pete had a lot of good input to us last year when
he was the show afterwards.
He did the show afterwards. So maybe next year we can hopefully extend the invite. I don't want to commit him to him. You know, if he can't, his schedule's very busy, so I'm not trying to. But it was interesting because it wasn't because I was picking Pete while we asked that, because I had no idea how this was going to land until last weekend. Right. When I really started looking at this, and I just said, you know, I think this is Pete's year. And I think that blend is a blend that aficionado liked. They love the size. Yeah. They love that size.
So while we disagree on the Cuban, and I know you guys don't like my I know Aaron doesn't like my AJ Fernandez pick.
We all have
Pete really high. Pete, where do you have Pete, Aaron?
Do you think Pete makes his top 10?
Do you think he makes top 5? That's my question.
I don't think he makes top 10. Not top 5, sorry. And see, I don't know that cigar is the one that makes it.
See, I could see. Let's say if Dion goes number one, right? I could see Pete slipping to 6 or 7 with this.
Yeah,
I really can.
See, I have if it goes the non-Cuban route, well, you flip-flop the non-Cuban and Cuban. So it's like, it's my, for me, it would be the Hoyo de Monterey number one or number two, Pete Johnson number one or number two. And then I have Padron. Then if that happens, I have Padron at four, and then I have Dion at five. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good comments in here too, but yeah, I want to get to some of these comments, but yeah, because we haven't got, but yeah, I kind of agree. Yeah. I just don't think Padron is going to, does Padron get number one this year?
No.
But a Cuban you think can get number one. Mm-hmm. Does Fausto maybe surprise these guys and just,
Didn't Fausto make it last year?
Fausto made it last year. It's true. We said Fausto did make it last year.
Yeah.
Randy mentioned the Aroma de Cuba series earlier, and yeah, that doesn't get the love it deserves.
What if Monty number two got it again? It was a 91.
No, I can't. I don't think you can make that climb.
It doesn't, man, but oh god, that'd be sick. We're just wrong on it.
But yeah, I mean, that would be, it would be interesting. Yeah. And that's why I don't think that's why when we were going through the bubble picks and we said Latelier, I had them on off the bubble for that reason.
Yeah.
Because I think this cigar is the one that's getting on. I don't think there's any question that this cigar is getting on. It wasn't my personal favorite by Pete, so I'll be honest on that. But again, this is not about our personal pick.
Yeah, I mean, our logic is completely different than what happens on this list.
You know, kind of going down that road, right? So, Bear, last year it just happened you picked a cigar you really liked for number one, right? Aaron, you don't like anything, right? But, all right. Is there a cigar in play this year that you think you'd like to see get number one?
The one I picked. I haven't smoked it yet. But
you haven't smoked it yet. Okay.
But yeah. I know you like the Epernay blend, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if Aaron likes anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. How about you, Bear?
You know, that. You know, I had a feeling you were going to ask me that question. There are a lot of cigars that I really enjoy on this list. There are a lot of cigars I really enjoy. But there isn't like one where I'm just like, man, that would just be the bomb if it got it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a big, you know, Hoya Silver was my number two cigar last year. I love that blend. I mean, sensational. I love what they do at Hoya. I think the Cinco de Cadiz is an amazing blend. It's a weak score. You know, man, I it's sad to say, but no, there isn't anything where I'm just like, God, it would just be the, like, I mean, well, actually, yes. I mean, if Spinoza would get number one, then you guys would leave me the fuck alone about Chevy Chase. So yeah, I think, yeah. Okay.
That wasn't my favorite Espinosa blend. I know that's done very well for them, so I'm not knocking it. It's just, you know, there's other Espinosa blends I like better than that one. So that's the reason.
So 2 years ago, remember, guys, I had it picked pretty high, and then I ended up picking it was the number one cigar of the year for me. This cigar's performed well for them.
It's done very well, and remember Espinosa had the second most qualifiers, I think, 1 year.
Two years ago, they had them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they missed the list entirely.
Yeah.
They got 601 that year. It wasn't even an Espinosa. It was their 601 that year. And then they missed the list entirely last year.
Yep. Yeah. They did the Red Got It last year, which was the one that year. The Red Got It the 2 years ago. Yeah. It kind of resurrected Red a bit, I think. Not that they got a huge boost from it, but I think it gave Red a little life a couple years
ago. Any chance that the Diademus kind of climbs out from the 91 that it got?
I think so. I think if a Hoya makes the list, I think that's the one that does it.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I like the silver, I think they miss it, but it's interesting. They have the red, the Ducatus, and the silver.
It's between the silver and the Ducatus, and I think the Ducatus makes it if a Hoya makes the list.
I would probably agree. I'd probably agree with that. I just want to see if you guys can guess what mine was. What I would like to see get number one.
Oh, man. Here we go.
This should be pretty easy.
Well, yeah. The Aladino?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a great line. I like the Toro. I think it's a good size. Not my favorite size, but it is a very good size. I don't think it's making the list, unfortunately. But, you know, you brought up that Gran Habano situation. That's kind of interesting.
I love that cigar. Like, there's, like I said, there's so many cigars on here that I really like a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Cigar Aficionado, as much as I disagree with them on a lot of occasions, they've got some great qualifiers here. Now, there are some cigars that they rated this year where I was just like, I don't think they were smoking the cigar.
I thought it was a wider list than normal. And because it had some brands, like we saw Oliva, Lafleur, and Rocky, and EP Carrillo really kind of have less this year, you know, in terms of that.
I think this is, I mean, doesn't that make the argument against for Aaron and I having Rocky completely fall off?
Rocky's not falling off. It's Rocky. That's like,
don't you dare. Don't say something crazy, Coop.
No, I'm not saying, I mean, I just don't see it. I mean, to me, that's almost like Oliva falling off.
No.
Look at your lock list where Rocky's on there and just think about who's the highest propensity to fall off of that lock list.
All right. So
Oliva, Fuente, all that, who's going to fall off? The only one that I can think of that would fall off alongside that has that same kind of, it would be General.
All right. Ashton's not falling off. Altidus, I don't think, falls off.
Fuente's not falling off. Bradley's making the top 25. Padron's never going to fall off.
General could.
Yeah, so like I said, in a ranking of that, of those.
And Habano's could get a fourth slot.
Of those 13, let's just leave.
I would put Lafleur before Rocky.
Lafleur's not missing it.
Yeah.
Lafleur's the number one cigar and
Rocky. No, I put Lafleur falling off before that.
Lafleur's not missing it.
Yeah.
Number one cigar of the year, man. 2 years ago.
And then you have these highly probables. Are any of these five missing it this year? You could argue maybe. I don't think Aging Room's missing it.
None of your highly probables are missing it.
No.
Yeah.
The wild cards are going to be the interesting factor. Yeah, I think Placencia has almost moved into that next category too.
Of highly probable, absolutely.
Yeah, this should. I'm going to take this one
off. One more year in the top. If Aganor Salif, against what I was saying, if Aganor Salif falls off the, if Aganor Salif is outside of, if they're number 15 or higher, then they stay in that category of strong wild card. If they are top 10 or 15, they move up to that category too.
I'll put Warp in there because you guys were high on it. It's strong wild card. But another X factor is if Habanos takes a fourth slot this year,
yeah,
which is a big possibility. They haven't taken four in a while. I don't know. It's gonna be. And where is my? You think my? If Tatuaje gets one, where does my father end up falling?
My father's gonna be low because it's the La Gran Forte.
It's not a good.
I don't think my father makes the list.
Makes the list or makes the top 10?
I don't think it makes the list at all.
Oh, that's just Pepin's in that Padron category right now. He's never gonna. He'll be on the list as long as he's alive. He's got a lifetime. I think he's got two. Him, Fuente. I think lifetime. I think they got a lifetime slot on there. And I disagree. I'm not saying it's the strongest one. I don't think this is a strong year for Pepin's brand by any means. But yeah. And then there's any. Like I said, I don't see them. You know, they could do something strange. Like, nah, that won't happen. I don't see Rocky Patel missing this list. They still don't, at the expense of some of these other ones.
Tony's political, man. I don't know. I mean, Aaron, what's your reason? You just think the week selection?
Yeah. I mean, I think of it as in like earning it kind of thing for this year versus, you know, the lifetime thing. But, you know, that doesn't – what I think, the logic doesn't make sense in the logic for CA. So who knows?
Let me ask another question here. So let's just kind of – we went through a bunch of this stuff, right? You guys can tell me, shut up, anyway. We looked at some of these brands that have won it before, right? Does anyone have a shot at winning a second title? Like, does maybe Alec Bradley sneak in with the Project 40 this year?
I don't see it making this number one.
No.
I don't either.
No, there's not going to be a repeat this year.
I don't think
unless you count Habanos as a repeat.
Unless you count Habanos, yeah. Unless Aaron goes right with the Bahique.
It's not happening.
I don't think there's a shot at a repeat. I don't think Padron's going to get it this year. From just looking at, you know, and usually the one that has the most entries doesn't win it. So, I mean, I don't think Fuente's going to win it 2 or 3 years in a row. I know I have Foundation in there too, and I don't see it. That's gonna be very interesting to see how that all falls out. We'll see. And so the reveal of the list will happen on a week from Monday.
Yeah.
And that is the 16th.
Yeah.
Monday the 16th. So, assuming my schedule will allow it, I'll be on the air at the time of the reveals each morning as the reveals happen. So we'll see what happens.
Yes, yeah, so number one comes out that Thursday. So right the day of that we do the next
that'll be the Kirk Kendall show. Yep.
Yep.
So I'm sure we'll have some discussion that night on that.
Sure. And then the remainder of the list comes out that Friday.
Right. So just you know, it's the 16th is 10 to 8. The 17th is 7 to 5. The 18th is 4 to 2. The 19th is the number one. And then the rest of the list is the end of the week.
Yeah.
Which is Friday. It's kind of always interesting because when you get to that, everyone's hoping they get one of those top 10 slots, right?
Right, right.
And then usually by Wednesday, the companies know, they're probably not going to get number one. Do they get one of those 11 to 25 slots?
Yeah.
The thing with the EPC last year was really interesting because when they didn't get when they weren't on there, I know they were on pins and needles if they were going to get that one or not. Jose was a wreck that week. So we shall see. All right. Any other comments on the aficionado list before we close out the show?
Nope.
All right.
Just going to say, if Pete Johnson does get number one, it's going to be pretty awesome because he is my 100th episode on the 22nd of December.
There you go.
Oh, plug there. Oh, jeez. That would be a lot of fun. Let me ask one more question. Does something crazy happen like Matt Booth or someone like completely get number one this year?
That farce could make it.
They like that farce. I mean, I'm just telling you. They like that farce. They like Ventura Factory too.
You know, here's a cigar brand we didn't mention. It only has one entry on the list, but I particularly like the cigar. The Ventura. Speaking of Ventura, the Strange Passage, the short Robusto.
That's the one coming out of Camacho.
Yeah.
That's a potent cigar.
I like that blend.
I would pay attention to – forget, again, taking what's going on in Ventura. By the way, next week we have scheduled Indiana Ortiz. I got to finalize that confirmation, but Indiana is supposed to be on from them. That Sacred Scales is one to watch for next year. I think that's one of the best cigars they've come out with, Ventura. So, but that will be interesting to see what happens with that. All right. So just kind of before we wrap up, scheduling-wise, I'm going to be busy next week. Tuesday, Bear and I will have Jared from Christoph on Special Edition.
Nice.
He is confirmed. Thursday, we have Indiana scheduled. So that'll be episode 120. And then Primetime Jukebox, the Christmas and Holiday show, is on the 22nd. Oh, so nice. I'm sorry, not the 22nd, the 14th. I'm sorry, the 14th. So busy week for me next week for sure. And Bear, I'm actually recording Primetime Jukebox before our show, just so you're aware of that too. So I'm going to be doing double duty that night actually. And the coupe list will be debuting tomorrow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So throw everything out the window that you heard tonight, with that. I will tell you, this will not be a popular list this year.
Of course.
It's
a man after Aaron's own heart.
Someone suggested we do a worst of list.
Yeah.
Could you picture, we get enough crap for a best of list. Like the crap we, I mean, it's getting worse every year.
I would kind of envision the conversation going something like, well, you complained when I didn't put you on a list, and now I put you on a list, and you're complaining still? Like, what? Give me a break.
Cut me some slack, man.
Yeah.
Do we agree that Cierro Nicaragua was probably one of the lowest rated cigars on the Cigar Aficionado contender list?
Yes.
Yes.
I rated that cigar. I wrote a review for it, and I rated that cigar. And I think every Cierro Nicaragua that I have had since, I've had three or four, has gotten worse than the one of my review.
Oh my!
Yeah.
No, I did not. I was not a fan of that cigar.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. And then you guys have your list coming out in January, so we'll look for it. So we'll look forward to that. Aaron Baird, thanks for bearing with me tonight. No pun intended there. I know I was a little off my game tonight. It was a long day. But thanks guys. Thanks to the audience as well. Apologize if I'm off my game again, but that's going to wrap up Primetime episode 119 Into the Annals of History for Thursday, December 5th. Now Friday, December 6th on the East Coast. We'll see everybody next week. Have a great night, everybody.
See you guys.
See you next time.